Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bill Polian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
I got a judge that's just aching to throw me in jail. I got no money, a dress code problem, not to mention your biological clock. Is there any more shit we could pile on to the top of the outcome of this case? Is it possible?
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
All right, knock it off. You know, you ragging on me is not going to give me any great spontaneous knowledge.
Paul Perillo.
You just keep on asking about Chinese food. Can't you tell they don't have Chinese restaurants around here? Gotta let everybody know you're a tourist.
And Andy. And Andy?
Everything that guy just says bullshit. Thank you.
Andy Hart.
Let me see. This is a tough decision you're giving me here. Get my ass kicked to collect $200. What do you think? I could use a good ass kick, and I'll be very honest with you.
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
You stick out like a sore thumb around here.
Me? What about you?
I fit in better than you. At least I'm wearing cowboy boots.
Oh, yeah, you blend.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Imagine you're a deer. You're prancing along. You get thirsty. You spot a little brook. You put your little deer lips down to the cool, clear water.
Bam! A bullet rips off part of your head. Your brains are laying on the ground in little bloody pieces. Now I ask you, would you give a what kind of pants the son of a who shot you was wearing?
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. Everybody's here except Andy. He's at home playing Mr. Dad, the proud father of a newborn baby girl, Sydney. Suddenly, Sydney.
Suddenly, Sydney.
Yeah, isn't that a play?
I don't know.
You would know.
Well, there was a TV show, Suddenly
Susan. Suddenly Susan was a TV show.
No, there was Suddenly. I thought there was a play, yeah. Suddenly Sydney. Strippers will tell us. He knows.
2G, are you looking that up? Yeah.
Well, all right. Doing something. Welcome, everybody, to PFW in Progress. And I have a story from yesterday. I got in trouble again.
Oh, yeah. I know. Yeah.
Webradio at Patriots.com is the
well,
email address.
Well, you didn't get in
trouble, did you? Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address.
Was
phone number is 508-384-7482.
Was there an update to that story other than what we know?
You got the number wrong. 543.
543-7482.
That's not what you said, though.
What did I say?
You said like 843.
Did I?
Yeah.
It's 508-543-7482. Webradio at patriots.com.
Was there an update to that story?
Oh, this is what
beyond happened. What happened in the morning?
Look, this is what happened, okay? This is PFW Progress. You got to give the inside story.
Yeah. Well, do you really? I mean, is that something we should be giving the inside
story? Ferreira sucks.
Well, I suppose the fact that it was out there on Pro Football Talk is...
Yeah, why not? Yeah. Last week, we learned... The
Why
weeks,
not? I have two
you know, the opponents for the preseason, and we learned, you know, when each week would be.
Right.
And we know. Who
By the
we're
way,
gonna...
today we know the exact dates.
Right.
Of the,
That's on Patriots.com.
Of the preseason.
Right. All the
preseason.
All the preseason dates are up on Patriots.com now, and we know that we were opening up against Buffalo
Monday
and
Night
we
football.
Were playing the Tampa. So
right.
I said to Chris, the webmaster,
Ferreira, so
you know, I'm
Mary
sick Christmas. Of seeing the old schedule up on our homepage and the scores. Let's put up what we know. And just, you know, throw in the other ones as TBAs. But mm-hmm. make sure you have the words up there that says not in order.
Mm-hmm.
So if anyone's looking at this list of – because we know the opponents. So if anyone's looking at the list, it knows it's not in order. So that's what he did.
And for one time, Chris actually followed your instructions.
He followed my instructions
to
exactly.
A T. Mm-hmm. It said not in order.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. But they were in such a random way that I guess someone could look at it and say, well – even though it says not in order, why would they do it in the order that they put it?
Such an idiot.
So somebody emailed Pro Football Talk. The Patriots are leaking their schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, I get a call from Stacey James, our media relations director, who is one of the best in the league, if not the best. I think he's great. And, you know, what's going on? What's this link? So I didn't know what was going on. So I said, oh, my God, you know. And so all of a sudden the phones start ringing. EEI starts calling. Mike Reese is texting. You know, people are calling. Is this the schedule? So we went back and Chris rearranged it. So like all the home games are at top. And so it's just obvious that this isn't the order.
So now the reason I'm a little unclear as to why
there's people were that still think that that was the schedule, by the way.
I'm a little unclear as to why they were in random order to begin with.
I saw some guy on a blog that said, oh, that's crap. It's the order, you know.
But why were they in random order to begin with?
Chris just said that he just threw them up there was looking at a sheet with them and he just put them up there. He says there was no rhyme or reason to how he did it.
I don't know why he did the order. He just threw it in.
I don't really remember for sure, but didn't it have like Buffalo, Miami, and the Jets and like some combination of all the division teams at the top?
Yes.
And it said at home, at home.
Right.
You know, I don't know. Maybe he just decided to break it up.
Yeah.
I don't know.
To make it look like an actual.
I don't know why he did it. He says he didn't even think about it that much. He just looked at the piece of paper and threw them up.
But again, the words on top, not in order.
Yeah. That's the thing that when I read Florio's little blog entry, he made the most asinine comment by saying, it appears that this is the specific order of the. Well, no, dumbass. If you read, it says clearly not in order.
See, that's what gets me annoyed. I understand, you said the thing about Stace. I couldn't do his job for all the money in the world.
God,
because,
no.
You know, even when you're straightforward and you're telling the people the information, they still don't believe you.
Right.
And how much of that Stacey must have to deal with on a daily and a weekly basis is beyond me. I couldn't handle
it. Well, not only does he have to deal with that, he has to deal with, you know, demands coming from ownership, demands coming from coaching, and then me, the bane of his existence,
that's true.
Trying to push the envelope all the time.
But you weren't pushing any envelope.
No, in this case, we weren't.
There was no pushing of
in
the envelope.
In this case, it was
here.
Just an honest miscommunication. I don't know.
It was nothing.
It's nothing. It's a nothing.
Like I said, it's the one time that Chris actually followed your instructions perfectly.
The only thing I can say is on our homepage, on that schedule, it says not in order.
Right.
But there's another page on our site that pulls that information.
Right.
You know, and that's under the schedule tab. And that didn't have. Not in order.
Oh.
So if someone didn't see the schedule on the homepage and first went to the schedule button and looked at it there,
okay,
so now what is this? Even though next to each one it had TBA, still.
They misinterpreted the website.
The website.
You know, but look, if we want to leak it, we'll leak it. I mean.
But you know, if we're going to do that,
why wouldn't we leak it with the times and dates on it?
Exactly.
Let's just say for argument's sake, we didn't know the times and dates, but we knew the order with which they were going to be. Why would we bury it just on the website like that and make it random and hope someone noticed?
Right.
If we were going to do it and we were going to leak it, we'd put a story up there and get in trouble.
Exactly.
And at least get the credit for breaking it.
Right.
And just so if anyone still feels out there listening that, that was the order – I hope when the schedule does come out and you see that it has nothing to do with that, that you eat a little crow.
Did anybody print that out?
There's no conspiracy theory. I hope they did.
So that they can compare when it actually
is. What if it is the same order?
That would be like...
Well, then Chris is an idiot savant.
He should play the lottery then, if that's,
14 games guessed exactly in the right spots.
Right.
What are the odds of
that? You can make some educated guesses, though. There's some other events going on at the stadium you could.
There are some educated things that you could say. Like, I would bet that we'll be away in week two.
Right, September 20th.
But to know who you're
obviously
away.
Obviously in a way, but we don't know by who.
You don't know who you're playing.
Right.
And
that's
a
challenge.
My guess, and this is not set in stone again, my guess would be we're going to be away the week before we go to London. I mean, home the week before we go to London.
Yes.
That's probably a home game, right?
Probably.
Yeah. Now, if I was really smart,
preferably 1 o'clock.
What we should have done is come up with a fake schedule and put it up as an April Fool's joke. But then what I'm told is people, as soon as they see that, they start making reservations.
Oh.
But we could have made it so obvious, like, the Toronto Bills or something like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway,
Ironic, though, that it did come out on April Fool's Day. Yeah. No?
It
of all the days,
a little ironic.
Had you just done it? That was the first day it was up there. Was yesterday?
No, but that's when somebody.
No, obviously that's when it was noticed.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's my point. If we were going to leak it, we wouldn't sit there and put it up there and say, "God, how come no one's noticed yet?"
But
we would put a story up there with a headline saying, schedule order announced. Yeah.
So for all those people out there that are going, oh, no, that was it.
I hope to God it's so wrong.
You know, I can't wait till the actual schedule comes out in a few weeks. And
yeah,
there's no conspiracy. There's no conspiracy.
We did have the specific dates and times for the preseason games announced today for real.
That is for real.
For real.
That's out there.
And those are on Patriots.com today. That is the actual dates.
And that wasn't the only
Thursday, Friday, in terms of the games. And the two home games for the Patriots fans, 7:30
starts. Yeah. Right.
Kickoff, 7:30.
That wasn't the only controversy involving Chris Ferrari yesterday.
There's no weekend games.
I like
that.
Wonderful.
Lovely.
Thursday, Friday. Yeah, you can't get better than
nice.
That.
You know that, right?
What's that?
That wasn't the only controversy involving webmaster Chris Ferrari yesterday.
Well, because it was April Fool's, the Patriots Today staff thought it'd be great to have a guest host on Patriots Today, and it would have been Chris Ferrera, which I have to admit would have been very, very funny.
Not just a guest host, but saying that Christina had left the show to take on a
yeah, they had a
job
whole,
somewhere.
Bob had a whole
really?
Elaborate thing that he was going to do.
Right.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it was going to be – I don't know. I didn't actually get to see the show. How did it work out?
I think Nick Olford.
It was supposed to be Chris Ferrera, and he was supposed to get on camera and say, you know, I'm Chris Ferrera, Patriots webmaster. Christina took a job at some made-up fictional network or something. And then he was going to intro the first piece and actually do a voiceover. And then at the end of it, Christina would actually be on camera with them and saying, what the hell are you doing here and all this stuff. And Chris, pansy that he is, backed out saying he was under too much heat yesterday and he was afraid that
he was going to get in trouble.
It was a tough day for him. Yeah, and
he did nothing wrong.
Yeah. But,
but why can't he accept that? You told him that. I told him
that. He's a nervous Nelly. You know that.
But when you're specifically told by your boss, and in this case, Fred, you didn't do anything wrong. Okay, I'm not going to worry about it anymore.
Chris is flipping me off as we speak, the way.
No doubt.
But, you walked in here saying you were going to punch 2G in the face.
He's got an edge
today. Well, he deserved
Fred,
it.
Eric's
you're
got
unbelievable.
An edge
he deserved it
really,
what he said.
A lot of aggression aimed at 2G.
You know why? Andy's not here this week.
Yeah.
All my aggression would have been going toward Andy.
Okay.
That's all.
You're not manifesting any type of bromance and violence, are you?
Bromance and violence. I like it.
It's not that time of the month, is it, Eric?
Oh,
all right, Web Radio at Patriots.com. I know 2G. John in L.A. is on the phone. John, how you doing?
Pretty good. Is there anything scarier than the idea of Chris Ferrera being somewhere where Christina Acker was supposed to be?
Oh,
good God.
See now.
That's just not good at all. Wow. No one's looking for that.
Hey, save it for Friday outtakes, John, will you?
Cherry pie?
God bless you for playing that, 2G. Hey, Eric, speaking of which, you've been sort of snidely ripping outtakes since it started, and that's cool, but you should understand, everyone's got to find a niche. Mine is writing a sometimes snarky NFL column. Give me a break.
I think you misunderstood where I was going
no,
with that,
not
John.
Everyone, Eric, knows how to trace a cat.
You obviously misunderstood, John.
Wow.
Another cat fight.
I have no formal artistic training.
I was actually defending your column, saying that it should be on a more
website.
Thank you. Yes.
I actually totally get that. I mean,
that's my only concern, and to be honest with you, John, I haven't read it.
Fred will back me up on this. There are a few people who've been as vocal as I have about, are you sure that we should be putting this on there?
Right. So, he's
I
wondered.
Understand.
John,
I totally
just to let you
that.
Know, we did get an email today that I'm sure Fred will be reading later. Very complimentary
yes.
of your
Oh,
work.
Yes. You did.
Well, that's
yeah.
nice.
Yeah.
That's nice.
And then, by the way, I have nothing wrong with your column at all.
But I really do get that it's not congruent with the Patriot
right.
way.
And it's an acquired taste.
Yeah, I guess
silence.
Anyway, how's everybody doing today?
We're doing great.
Doing great. Not bad.
Frazzled, but great.
I was just listening
to yesterday. It's a busy
week.
Yeah, very busy
week. I think it's perfectly reasonable that Paul would root for the team he grew up, like his whole family went there, and he grew up rooting for them.
The Northeastern.
It's not, it's not a big enough school for Fred, though.
You seem to be making it like that's crazy, but that's like one of the most direct paths to why you root for a team. Next topic.
Your father.
I still feel he's guilty for not going there. He feels guilty for not going there.
That might be true. I don't
That's
think those
stupid.
Are true.
No, it isn't.
No, it is. It's stupid.
You need to talk to someone. Get this off your chest.
Oh, boy.
There might be a little bit of that, no?
little element of that?
You feel left out. There? You feel left out.
No, actually, I wish you had gone there, though.
You
right?
know, no. You feel left out of the bond, and all everything you've been doing since is an effort to get in back in.
What he I is enamel, though.
What I wish I had done.
Enamel, by the way, is the Northeastern Athletic Men's Basketball Love Association.
Right. And I'm not real happy with that at all.
That's good. It's NAMBLA.
You know, it's funny, though.
It's really not. I must admit, it's highly clever. I'm not happy with that at all.
That's understandable.
Pretty much anything else you guys rip me for, I'm okay with that. That one, you know, I don't know.
Being associated, you know how I feel when Andy brings up all the...
Again, there's truth and then there's fiction. No, but NAMBLA, come on. No one says that about you.
No. No, but when he says the other things
but
that I don't
it's
like.
Still, this is way worse than that. It's way worse.
I suppose.
Anyway, go ahead, John.
All right. Well, I was just... I have nothing else. I was
okay.
going to tell you that this week, right. Takes, I was going to give you a little, because sometimes you ask me what's on.
Yeah, what's give us a preview.
I've got a Final Four of NFL Bad Boys.
Good.
Fred, good.
Sort of go thing. I've got a story on.
Two G.
For the good of the show. For
now
the good
it's
of the
three-way
show.
Cat fight.
Wow. Holy crap.
He blew up one of our authors.
Wow. Wait, that's not the first time.
I love you, John.
Gary did it to me when we were out in California.
Well, you're just going to have to read outtakes tomorrow to find out what John's writing about.
Wow.
You know,
hey, you know what?
Final Four of NFL
actually,
Bad
Boys.
Actually,
he can write about Jay Cutler every week.
I was going to say.
Oh, my God. Is that escalating
he
or what?
Is, he has psychological problems. Not John in L.A., although he might, too, because he listens to us so much. But Cutler has serious psychological issues.
Well, now he's making up. Blatant lies,
and
right?
And his agent's going along with this.
Yeah. What's well, his agent wants a payday.
What's his blatant lie?
But he's going along with the...
He's just saying that they haven't contacted me, haven't... And
oh, yeah. That's not...
One side's lying about that.
Well, saying that, but he has... Jay Cutler has now said both sides of the argument. He started out...
Right. I wanted to be traded
right.
before all this.
Now he's saying, I never wanted to be traded. Right. I love it in Denver.
I don't know why they're trading me,
right.
he said to the Fox Sports.
Here's the best timeline I can do with this. He didn't get the coach that he wanted to be hired as the head coach.
Right.
His quarterback's coach, Jeremy Bates, who's now with USC. So he was mad. He was pouting. And he was mad that Bolin hired McDaniels. So he goes to Bolin and says, I'm mad. I don't like this. I want to be traded. Then it comes out on first weekend of free agency that there might have been some interest with the McDaniels and the Broncos for Castle. And he comes out and says, this is ridiculous. I can't believe they wanted to trade me after he had already
right.
asked for a trade.
Right.
Then the Broncos come out and say, no. We like Jay. We want him. Yeah. We want him. He's our guy. So he continues to pout, puts his house up for sale, puts his parents' house in the Denver area up for sale, and says, I want out of here. I can't believe they're treating me like this. And the whole time the Broncos are saying, no, he's our guy. We like him. We want to meet with him. We want to bring him in. We want to talk. They bring him in to talk. He says, this doesn't go well. I don't like it here.
Right.
I got to get out of here.
Right.
The Broncos still kind of say, okay. Finally, in the last week, the owner sends like 10 phone calls and messages to him and says, I never heard from the guy. So he comes out with a statement, the owner.
Right.
And says, we haven't heard from Jay. Obviously, he doesn't want to be here. We're going to do our best to accommodate him and trade him.
Right.
And he comes out and says, I can't believe this. I can't believe it's come to this.
It's
they
not.
Can't believe they're trading me.
But now.
Are you kidding me?
Now, but here's the thing. I guess there's what? At least a half a dozen teams that are interested in him. One of them
a
being
dozen
Redskins.
Teams. There's about a dozen.
According to Florio, who I'm mad at for yesterday. But anyway.
Yeah, it was a bonehead move by him.
No. Well, I mean, you take one. Just do a little checking first. Anyway. You know, according to a story on his site, Vinny Serrato and Daniel Snyder and whoever, Jim Zorn and some other guy who I don't know, were all huddled yesterday to figure out how they can get Jay Cutler on that team. I think that's really – now Jason Campbell is upset.
That was the
– because –
That's the next logical step.
It's like
– Jason Campbell's going to be pouting now.
Right. He's already come out. I'm a starter in this league.
I mean, you just can't make it up.
Now, the Broncos are asking for two first-round choices for Cutler. Is that what they're asking
for? That's what
prices?
I heard, yeah.
What they should be asking for is a
they're
starting quarterback from one of these other teams.
Yeah.
If they make a deal with the Redskins, Jason Campbell should be part of the deal.
Yeah.
Or if they make a deal with Cleveland, Brady Quinn should be part of the deal.
See,
the Broncos should get something.
It's
Brady Quinn to me makes sense. I'm not. I don't know about the other guys. You know, maybe Campbell makes sense. Maybe he doesn't. But I think McDaniels is looking for a specific kind of quarterback to run his offense, to run the Patriots' offense, right. I should say. And I don't think that he just feels you can plug anyone in there. I don't think that's that high on his priority list. I think that he knows that Cutler's not the guy.
Right.
So if he trades him and they get two first-round picks, I don't think they will. I mean, I know that's what they're saying that they want. But if you get a first-round pick and a third-round pick or something like that, I think he's fine with that, even if they don't get a quarterback back. He'll find his way to find his quarterback.
Right. Right.
You know, I think Brady Quinn makes a lot of sense. That he knows that Brady Quinn can run that offense
because he did it at Notre Dame
with Charlie.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think that makes a lot of sense for him. I don't know if Jake Delhomme in Carolina, that's another one of the teams. I don't know if Jason Campbell in Washington. I don't know enough about those guys. And I don't really.
I don't think Jake Delhomme would be the guy.
I think Delhomme is too much of a gambler, too. You know, Campbell has been in some West Coast offense, but I'm not sure he's a good fit for that. I mean, I think there's similarities between the West Coast offense and what the Patriots do.
Now, do you think Denver runs a West Coast?
They're going to run the Patriots offense.
Right.
Which has some element, what Paul's saying, there's some elements of West Coast in that.
I think high percentage
I think there's similarities. Right. It's not the same. You know, Bill says it all the time. It's not similar, but not the same.
Right.
And he would never characterize the Patriots offense as a West Coast offense because it's not.
No.
But I do think there are some elements, some traits that you would want in a West Coast quarterback. I think would translate to the Patriots.
But it's hysterical.
I think Tom Brady would be a wonderful West Coast quarterback.
It's hysterical what's going on.
You can't make it up.
As the world turns in Denver, it's just ridiculous. But I just love it now. Jason Campbell's upset. And,
how many teams are going to be brought down this offseason?
Well, whatever happens, this is all building up to the draft, and it's going to make draft weekend really – exciting, I think.
More so than usual.
You really don't know what's going to happen.
Draft weekend in and of itself
there's always some
exciting.
Story that, Saturday morning everyone's talking about, will this happen? I think it's going to be great. It's going to be good theater.
You know what's perfect for that? There really is no consensus this year.
No. That's who the number one is going to
be.
Michael Crabtree could be number six. Some people are saying he could be number one.
Yeah, but no one knows who's going to be the first round, the number one overall pick. No one has a consensus top five the way we have the last several years. But this is taking the place of all that.
Yeah.
Right.
All of this kind of talk and how it's going to impact the draft is more important than who actually is going to get taken in the draft right now.
Now, if, in fact, the Broncos do get two first-round picks, people are saying, that's going to be bad for Bill Belichick because, here you go. If Jay Cutler's worth two first-round picks, Adam Schefter's saying just today he had a report that, his league sources are telling him that Matt Cassel is one of the top five quarterbacks in the NFL. Now all of a sudden there's a consensus that he's a top five now that he's with a place and he's not moving anywhere.
That's what people were saying. Yeah. Adam Schefter said that agreeing with Eric.
Yeah.
I think it's laughable.
Yeah.
Based on 15 starts, you have a guy who's being one of the best five quarterbacks.
But if Matt Cassel's one of the top five, Jay Cutler may or may not be, and he's getting two for it. Patriots should have waited. They should have waited. They should have gotten more.
But the problem was
they were up against the cap. There were other things.
I didn't get this.
I got the hamburger. Thank you.
It's PFW in progress.
People say, they should have shopped around. Well, they did shop around. They did ask teams. And at the time they asked, teams weren't biting, including, they probably did not call the Broncos because the Broncos had a quarterback. That probably wasn't on their radar to call the Broncos and see if they're interested. They probably didn't call them.
I find it hard to believe, though, that
what?
That either Bill didn't know or Josh didn't make clear when he was leaving for Denver that, obviously it's tampering and all that technically to say it, but just to hint in some way that, I know you're not probably going to need number 16, and I, kind of like him, and, maybe we'll be talking soon. You're telling me that none of that went on, that they didn't know that McDaniels was probably going to be interested in getting Cassel?
It's a good question, but, I don't know the answer to that.
I have a hard time believing that neither side either expressed interest or knew that was a possibility. I really have a hard time believing that.
I sort of agree with Eric on that.
That Josh came to him at the 11th hour and said, by the way, we're interested.
I can't imagine Josh. Josh's first thought of Matt Cassel came after the fact. That's kind of the way it's perceived.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. But a lot of people say, you know, once he got there, once he, you know, because you go into a team with a guy who now has the record for most yardage in a season for his franchise that included John Elway. So you go into a team maybe thinking, maybe I got a quarterback. But as you get to know this guy or about him, maybe you're realizing, maybe I don't have a quarterback.
See, but my point is, well, here's where I'll agree with you, Fred. I think that it might be one thing for Josh to have looked at Jay Cutler from afar and said, I'm not sure this is the kind of guy that I really want for my system. And I think that he probably had that in his mind before he even took over. But it's another thing to get in that job. And now, you know, you talk to Pat Bowlen, you talk to the people that are, you know, in charge, and you find out, can I really get rid of him? How tough would it be for me to sell Pat Bowlen on making this change? You know, let me compare it a little bit to Belichick coming here in 2000. Okay, we know that Belichick wasn't completely in love with Bledsoe, right? This is before Tom Brady was ever even drafted.
Most likely, right.
This is before Tom Brady was ever even around, right? We think that Belichick probably thought that Bledsoe was a good quarterback, but he could do better. And probably needed a different kind of quarterback than what he wanted to do, right?
Probably.
I think that's fair.
Probably, yeah.
But he got here and then probably found out that it, not that Robert Kraft would say, no, you can't make that move, but
it
probably saw how important
right.
Bledsoe was to the Kraft family and the fabric of the community around here and saw that probably not going to be easy to just get rid of this guy. And what ended up happening? He signed a 10-year contract.
Right.
Extension,
right,
to stay here,
right.
So maybe to back your side of that, Fred. Maybe Josh said, "Yeah, I'm not sure that Cutler's my guy, but who knows if they'll ever let me really pull the trigger on such a controversial move like that."
Right. Yeah.
You know, and then he got there and found out, hey, they're open to it. They have their questions about this guy too.
Right. And you had to have a dance partner because the Patriots weren't going to trade Castle for Cutler. We wanted a draft choice. You know, so. Maybe they didn't want to give up their own first.
And they had a good one.
They had to get.
They have a good one.
Right. They had to get another one from someone else. You know, so I don't know. But I just know that I think at the end of the day, the Patriots, if they could have gotten a higher draft pick, would have. I don't think that there was any conspiracy to help Pioli and hurt McDaniels.
Well, that's ridiculous. We know that. Yeah. That's laughable. The only question here.
It's
that
ironic
you have to decide
that it's hurting him.
They had a gun to their head to make the deal because they feel they had to do it immediately. So the only only argument against that is do you really think they had to do it immediately? Could they have done it just as easily 24 or 48 hours later?
Right.
Not arguing with you either way, but if anybody that's going to make fun of the Patriots for not getting enough would say, couldn't they have waited 24 or 48 hours and then maybe maximized what they wanted?
I think that might be.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
I don't think they could have waited much longer.
You know, who knows? Maybe Pioli gave him a deadline. I don't know. Maybe he was playing hardball and say, here's my deal. You got 24 hours. We need to get it done by Friday or I'm moving on.
Maybe.
You know, he didn't want to be dragged along by the Patriots.
Right.
No one wants to be used as a bargaining chip. Well, we've got this from the Chiefs.
Right.
What do you give us? No one wants to be used that. So maybe there were conditions on his offer.
We're not privy to any of those discussions, obviously. But I think in my mind, a reasonable deadline for all of this to happen, for any deal, on that first weekend of free agency would have been that Sunday, the last day of that first weekend of free agency. Because you get all day Friday, it's a flurry of activity. Saturday, maybe you have some time to sit back and think a little bit. And then by Sunday, you're either ready to say, okay, we've had enough time to think about it, we're ready to pull the trigger, or not.
Right.
But I think to give a deadline that quickly, like one day after free agency starts, but I don't think you can wait that much longer because if the Patriots were indeed interested in trying to see what they could do with getting Peppers, they would need to know that they had enough money.
Plus, they had a couple of things they had to take care of, you know, and I know they weren't major, but they had to re-sign James Sanders and they had to do some things and they needed some cap room. I mean, believe it or not, the cap room was a factor here. They needed to get
absolutely.
Paul's pouring soda, so he's not in his microphone.
I mean, that's the number one overall factor, overriding factor. They had to get the cap room
absolutely,
immediately.
And they proved it by signing certain guys pretty quickly thereafter.
Right. So, All right. We got a lot to talk about. A lot of it's Patriots. A lot of it's kind of Patriots related with McDaniels and everything. We'll do that right after this.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is the ultimate shopping, dining, and entertainment destination in New England. What's your Patriot Place experience?
We took the kids to a movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe and finally went to Red Robin. The burgers were amazing. It was so much fun. Everyone loved it.
We had girls' night out at Patriot Place last weekend. A little shopping, dinner at Davio's. It's just like the one in Boston. And we had drinks at the cutest little wine bar called Tastings.
Experience Patriot Place. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day.
Honestly, I'm here about once a week. I always find great deals at Christmas Tree Shop and Old Navy, and the shoes at Off-Broadway are unbelievable.
Patriot Place is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough with convenient and free parking.
Bass Pro Shop and Eastern Mountain Sports have everything I need for my camping and hiking trips. And we love CBS Scene Restaurant. They've got about a million TVs, and their outdoor deck looks right into Gillette Stadium. It's so cool.
Log on to patriot-place.com for more information. Patriot Place. Everyone wins.
The 2009 MLS season is here. Saturday, April 4th, the New England Revolution host First Kick 2009 at Gillette Stadium when they take on Western Conference foe FC Dallas at 7:30 p.m. Taylor Twellman, Shalry Joseph, and the rest of the Revs are set to kick off their home schedule, and you can be a part of it.
Gillette Stadium comes alive!
Tickets for First Kick 2009 start at just $20, with discounts available for groups of 20 or more. Plus, the first 5,000 fans in attendance will receive a limited edition Revolution First Kick 2009 scarf free. Don't wait. Get your tickets now by calling the Revolution Ticket Office at 1-877-GET-REVS, Ticketmaster at 617-931-2222, or find great deals by visiting revolutionsoccer.net. So warm up your vocal cords and get to Gillette Stadium for First Kick 2009. Pride.
Off the line, saved by Reese.
Passion.
Flick, the shot, and the goal.
Revolution.
Coming this summer to Patriots.com. It's the ultimate showdown between pro bowler and pro sketcher. All pro and all show. A guy who's played in the Super Bowl and one who's worked at the Super Bowl. It's Gostkowski versus Scalavino.
I have to make 6 out of 10 field goals from 35 yards.
I think you could do that.
I know I can do it. I'm going to do it.
Wow!
Don't miss this once-in-a-lifetime event as the current Patriots kicker faces off against the former college football kicker, whose last kick was 15 years ago for a university that no longer has a football program.
But if I start making 6, 7, if I'm in that range, I might switch left-footed just to show him.
You've seen Ali Frazier, Duke, North Carolina, Red Sox, Yankees, but nothing will compare to this. It's Gostkowski Scalavino, coming this summer to Patriots.com.
What's the update on that?
Well, it's funny you ask. I have a couple of updates for you.
Okay.
In that regard. The first one involves Gostkowski. A couple of weeks ago, you and I and Andy. Lower the music, Jack.
I think dream on.
Yeah, I know. We came up with a list of story ideas because Stephen, I guess, had requested through media relations that we give him some ideas about things to write about. This is while you were away, Paul, I think. So Andy and Fred and I came up with a
little... I know, I still was getting made fun of even though I wasn't.
No, that's right. That's right. You were CC'd on those emails.
Right.
So we have a list. We came up with 3 ideas for him, one of which we're pretty excited about and hope that it'll get approved. Now, Stephen has to run this by Bill for his approval. Excuse me, I just had a Fred Kirsch moment right there.
Brilliance?
No. So we've given him the 3 story ideas, and we're waiting to hear back for which one he's going to actually write about. So that's the one half. Now, the other half is last weekend was pretty nice out, so I dusted off the old cleats.
Oh, geez.
And went out to the field to try to start practicing.
I know from experience, dude.
And, those old leather cleats, the brown leather cleats.
Yeah, and I had the leather helmet, right. Yeah, it was a long time ago. So.
Right. How'd you do?
Mixed results, Fred.
Yeah?
Mixed results. Accuracy-wise, I underestimated my accuracy. I thought I was going to make maybe about 50%, and I took 20 kicks.
From how long?
35.
All right.
That's because that's where he wants to do it from. So I took 20 kicks from 35, and 15 of them were dead center, straight down the middle.
You were lying your ass off.
75% accuracy rate, which was a little bit better than I had expected for my first time out. However, I overestimated the leg strength that I would still have after 15 years, and pretty much all of them fell just a tiny bit short of the crossbar.
Well, then you're not accurate.
So, yeah, I know. A little disappointing.
No, he's saying they were online but short.
They came just like a, you know, an inch or two.
The leg doesn't have the leg.
His accuracy was fine, but his leg strength wasn't where he thought it would be.
How many went through the crossbar?
Very few.
See, but you just now, you said 75%.
We're straight on. We're right there. And they
it
were,
doesn't
they were,
matter unless it goes. Here we go again. He's counting punts from 15 yards out, and it's a made field goal, even though it doesn't go over the crossbar.
Eric, I can keep the ball 2 feet straight
it
ahead.
It doesn't count unless it goes over the crossbar.
I knew you would get upset.
That's not accurate.
That. I knew you were going to get upset. Fred.
Oh, my God.
He explained it properly. Stop yelling at him.
No, he didn't.
The larger question.
He just said, my accuracy was really good.
It was. It was dead center.
You said I made 15 out of 25. I made 75%.
That's not what he said.
That's not what I said. I said 75% of them were straight on right down the middle.
But that doesn't matter if they go 10 feet.
I can make
go 10 feet.
100% of half-court shots
that,
in basketball.
That's an inaccurate way of describing how good you were.
The larger question is, this is a guy who claimed at some point during that bit, maybe not included in the bit, but during that discussion, that he, once he started making all the 35-yarders, was going to move back to 50 and bet him on that. So he's not reaching from 30. Excuse me, another Fred Curry moment, and I don't mean brilliance. He's not making them from 35, but he's going to make them from 50.
Right. So what are you going to do about this? You got to increase your leg strength.
Well, I'm trying. I mean,
what if
it was only that was the first?
What if this happens next week?
It's not going to happen next week.
Why? Are you going to hold out?
No, because A, he's not going to write a story that quickly.
So maybe you can do your
thing
first.
He has to write our story first.
No, listen,
that was the deal.
When he's ready to do this, we're doing it. It's not like we're saying, "Oh, let's pick another date."
We'll work it out.
Does he have to write the story if you win?
No, he has to write it no matter what.
Regardless.
Have to do it.
Right.
But the point is, Eric, when he's ready to go, we got to go. There's not going to be a second chance.
He can't call me at like 3 o'clock this afternoon and say we're going to go.
Why not?
Because I don't have my equipment.
You don't have your tights? What?
I'm not going to go out there like this in work clothes.
Listen to me.
I have to
have your stuff with you every day.
Oh, no, get the heck out of here.
If he calls you up on a day and says we can do it at 3 o'clock today, you're doing it. You'll go down there. They'll give you sweats or something. Brosh will give you something to
wear. You think they would do that?
Yeah. Well, because he would get them. He would say, Brosh, give me a pair of sweats.
Just have your stuff in your car.
All right.
No,
but Fred's right. We're not telling. You know what? Today's not good for me. How about a week from Thursday?
Right. So you got to start training, my son. You got to get going.
I have been training, Fred.
One day, able to get to the crossbar from 35 is not training.
I have been training, but as I've been telling you, there has been snow on the ground for most of this winter.
So you haven't been training.
I've been training in other ways.
Mentally.
In other ways.
What are you doing? Like,
taking a lot of mental reps.
Yeah, what are you doing?
Nothing can
simulate sitting there meditating about, doing visualization of kicking field goals. That's not going to cut it.
I've been
you
got to
get
things.
Out there.
Don't you worry about
you
it.
You got to strengthen that leg.
I'm trying.
If you can't hit from 35, this thing is over. Forget about moving back to 50.
That's where he's kicking from, 35.
That's what I'm saying.
He made a couple.
You got to get. You gotta,
I know. But it's, 15 years, Fred.
I know. I'm just saying, you got to. I need to hear and see a sense of urgency.
$20 that he makes an excuse that he pulled a hamstring.
Why don't you have this sense of urgency for Steven to write the story for us?
Huh?
Huh?
What?
I have less control over him than I do of you. You need to start training.
You need to have a sense of urgency about him, though, too.
Look, as much as I think it would be funny if you came out there and fell flat on your face, mm-hmm. I think it would be just as good as if you went out there and really impressed Steven Guskowski.
And that's what I'm trying to do, yes.
You're not going
to
do that by meditating with incense.
Fred,
you need to get out there and strengthen that leg.
You know, if the team would allow me to use the bubble, I would do that a few times a week. But we're not allowed to go in there.
There's a lot of parks in hilly Providence. Even if there's snow on the ground, you can clear a patch. John Smith did it.
Call Mark.
I don't have Mark Henderson
right.
at my disposal.
Look, you can do it. You can do it.
I know.
There's no excuses.
I need. I'm not making excuses.
You are. You're making
you.
Excuses.
You asked for an update. I gave you an update.
You know what else, too, Fred?
What?
You know, like when you asked him how many actually went through,
right.
and he said, a couple.
Yeah.
You know that means one.
Right.
You know, he made one.
Yeah.
Right? Am I right?
No, it was more than one.
I'm not buying it.
Yeah.
He has to know exactly how many he made.
No kidding.
Right?
You know.
It was about three.
About three. So that was two.
No, it was three.
It was two.
It was one.
It was about three.
No,
three.
It was three.
It was three.
Yeah.
Three went through.
Three went
out
over.
Of 25.
Over.
Yeah. Why did you stop at 25?
Out of 20. Out of 20.
Out of 20. Why'd you stop at 20?
Because it's been 15 years, and I didn't want to hurt myself.
Okay.
You can't just go out there and do that and expect that you're not going to get injured. So I had you have to work your way up.
You have somebody hold it.
Do a round. No, I have one of those. I have one of those things like Gostkowski has.
Oh, it holds it up.
It holds
from the top.
Yeah.
You have one of those?
It's one that I made back then.
I thought you got Carmani to go and hold for you.
Now, see, why do you got to go and do that, Paul?
What? He seems to know an awful lot about what you do on the weekends in your free time.
Yeah, well, that's the problem.
I think
with some
he's
of
a
our
frequent
listeners.
Visitor of Scalavino.com.
And maybe the, you know, his showings, his gallery showings.
Well, that's where he finds out about the showings.
Right? On the website, yeah.
Scalavino.com.
That's right. Thank you for pronouncing it.
Or as I say in Northern Italy.
No.
All right, webradio@pages.com is the email address, 508-543-7482. Emails are flying in, and so are the phone calls. John in Palm Bay is on the phone right now. John, how you doing?
Another moment of brilliance from Fred Kirsch.
John? John? 2G, is he on the phone?
He must have hung up because he was on hold for 25 minutes.
Maybe he had to go to lunch. There's something going on with John at this time of day.
Well, why does he call then?
I don't know.
He's always rushing to get off
yesterday,
the phone.
Yesterday, he had some type of thing. He had to go to lunch, or maybe he had. It was his turn at the drive-up line or something. I don't know.
Oh, did he buy us lunch today?
No, he didn't.
Oh,
it, right?
Oh, really?
I have some money.
Oh, so one of the 75 people that's written in the last 2 weeks saying they wanted to buy us lunch didn't buy us
Tucci
lunch today? Tucci
claims he gets back to them and they
Good
don't
job.
Return his email. So.
Way to go.
It's true.
So. Yeah, I tend to believe the audience more.
When's Toyota Tacoma coming?
A few weeks.
I caught him with his mouth full. All right. Should we get to some email? TG and NJ has an update from Mike Florio. Actually, this is from 11:23 this morning. Broncos want two first-rounders from Cutler. The guy who was supposed to be the Broncos franchise quarterback is getting the franchise player treatment, according to ESPN via the Tampa Tribune. So it's not according to ESPN. It's according to the Tampa Tribune. Anyway, he says the Broncos want two first-round picks for quarterback Jay Cutler. The Broncos also have informed interested teams that getting a quarterback in exchange isn't a necessity. So who will play quarterback for the Broncos? Chris Sims, Jeff Garcia, Jake Plummer. Good luck, Josh McDaniels.
Yeah. He should do the deal with Cleveland. Get Brady Quinn.
You do the deal.
So... let's see. Oh, somebody else wants to buy us lunch. We'll send that over to Tucci.
People also forget that you can, you know, draft a quarterback.
Yep.
You know, some teams have done that and, you know, made the playoffs as recently as, I don't know, last year.
No, they have. But, I mean, if you wanted to compete now, this year, I think what we saw last year with Matt Ryan and Joe Flacco was an aberration. Usually a rookie quarterback doesn't
have
that
rookie,
kind of success.
But Denver didn't compete last year, in my mind. They went 8-8. That's, you know...
There's a ton of also-ran teams.
Saying is if they had Cutler, I don't think they'd be ready to compete.
Even with all the moves they've already made with all the other signs?
I think that he feels that's not the answer. Now, I think Cutler's a pretty good quarterback. I don't think he's right for that system. If I were McDaniels, what I would probably try to do is see if I could work with him and get him to be more like what I need for my system.
I think
the skills are all there.
I think one of the problems Denver had last year, you know, they put up some good numbers, but they really didn't. I didn't see a system there. I saw a lot of playmaking by Cutler and, you know, making things happen. But what was their system? They weren't the running team they used to be.
No, they pushed the ball downfield a little bit more than other teams.
They had Brandon Marshall.
They had very good wide receivers. Yeah. They didn't have the great running game. And they also, Fred, in defense of their bad running game, had 1,000 injuries to running backs.
Yeah.
I think they had seven different running backs on IR.
A couple emails about John's columns. John was on earlier. Dear Fred, Paul, Andy, and that lady named Eric. Wow. Love your show. Quick note on outtakes. Enough with the bashing. As sports writing goes, it's smart, it's funny, it's unique. I know I now come to the site more often because of it. It definitely seems not in step with the way things are usually done at Patriots, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. People need to relax. It's clearly written with a sense of humor, just harmless fun. I felt like writing in because I noticed most times when people bother to comment on something is to complain about it. Well, enough complaining. It's great writing. It makes me laugh, and I look forward to it every week. And judging from my buddies I've emailed it to, I'm not the only one. Keep up the great work. That goes for Outtakes 2. Paul from London, who was a frequent emailer, says, hey, Cork Soakers, few things. I enjoy reading Outtakes, good witty writing, and some good shots of players. Second, I was wondering what you thought of Will Height's performances last year. I think he played much better than expected after last year's draft show, where some D-bag said he was the worst pick ever. What times will you guys be on during the draft? From pick 1, like 08, or will you be on from pick 9 or 10, like in 07? I'd rather hear your thoughts on as many Patriots picks as possible, so the later, the better, in my opinion. And he wants to buy us lunch as well. Paul, here's the schedule for the draft show on draft weekend. Saturday, we're going 6 to 9 Eastern. So 6 o'clock at night till 9 Eastern. So that'll give us, that'll put us right about where the Patriots, a little bit before.
Because the draft itself starts at 4 o'clock?
Patriots, draft starts
Eastern,
at 4.
4 Eastern.
So we're gonna go on air 2 hours after it starts. So that should put us a little bit before when the Patriots pick in the first round.
69.
Assuming they keep that pick. So, and then on Sunday, we'll go from 12 to 3. So 6 to 9 Eastern on Saturday.
69.
12 to 3 on Sunday. Those are our times.
And does the draft, what time does the draft start on Sunday?
11, I believe. 10. 10.
10 o'clock, right?
I think so, yeah. Yeah.
I couldn't find a consensus. Everybody says 10, I think.
I think I read it somewhere that because there's extra rounds in the Sunday now.
Yeah, but that was the same last year.
Yeah, I think they start at 10 now. So
late morning at the latest.
Yeah. On the phone right now is Jim from Texas. Jim, how you doing?
Fred, as always, it's an honor to be in your midst, I must say.
Okay, how are
I bet
you say that to
this
all the
guy
girls.
This guy has turned into my new favorite caller.
Yeah.
Thanks, Paul. I appreciate that. If you guys, I mean, I know I'm not going to get into the whole Flash thing or whatever because Eric would hate that, but I'm at a working lunch right now, and it's like 80 degrees. We're at the pool, and it's warm down here. I don't know what the temperature is in Boston, but this whole Cutler nonsense, it to me is incredible. The fact that he's saying he doesn't want to be traded right now. I don't know what y'all think, but is there any chance that he could end up at, say, like New York?
With the Jets?
I think there is.
Yes, I do. Yeah, I think
absolutely.
There's a chance of that.
Do they have the ammunition to pull off that trade? Because I think it's going to take more than, what are they picking, like 14 or something like that, 15?
The Jets have the 17th overall pick.
17th, okay. Yeah, they're in that range.
I mean, I think anybody would. I think what you would have to do if you're the Jets, more than likely, Jim, is put a player in there.
Yeah, but what player would you think?
That's
a good question.
I'm just going to throw someone out there because I heard Mike Greenberg talk about this yesterday, and Mike Greenberg is an enormous Jets fan. He's on ESPN Radio here in the mornings in Boston, and he's just obnoxiously in favor of anything the Jets do. But he talked about Darrell Revis, who a lot of guys
really?
Think is one of the best young up-and-coming cornerbacks.
Why not give him Vernon Golston?
I wouldn't do...
I was going to say
but
that.
But I wouldn't see... If I were the Jets, I wouldn't trade Darrell Revis for Jay Cutler. I wouldn't.
I wouldn't either.
I wouldn't.
I wouldn't do that either.
Now, Greenberg says he would.
On that trade so fast, the Starsham would carry four players out of Denver with him.
Yeah. Well,
because I think you can get a cornerback with the 17th, 20th pick in any draft. I mean, if you look in any draft... You can get a quality cornerback.
Yeah.
Look at Matt. Look at Ty Law. He was taken like 25th pick. I want to say.
Yeah, but you put Revis with Champ Bailey. How much better is he going to get? You know,
no, he'd be great.
Well, that
I think Revis is a very, very good quarterback.
It helps the Patriots because if Denver got a defense, they have the pieces to have a very good offensive unit together with Cutler. I'm saying before all this madness, exploded over there. McDaniels is a really good offensive mind. I think he would play to his strengths. They brought in Lamont Jordan. They would have some semblance of a running game. You fix the defense, guys, and that Denver team would be formidable. But if you get rid of Cutler, they're starting all over again, and I think that helps the Patriots.
I agree. So, yeah, I don't worry about the Broncos anyway because they're not necessarily in the path. They are in the conference but not in the division. But I agree with you. I do think if – they do get rid of Cutler. That's starting all over again offensively. But I just think that that's what McDaniels needs to do if he wants to do it his way. The defense was abysmal last year, but, they have, I think there's 13 guys they've signed. The most.
Yes.
13 free agents.
They have not been shy of free agency. They've been trying to fix some things, and credit them for it, but you get rid of that quarterback and it's all for naught. I mean, I don't care what they brought in. If you get rid of Cutler, and I don't care who you bring in to replace him, be it Stafford or Jason Campbell, pick a name of all the scenarios that are out there, it doesn't make them a better team on offense. They lose Cutler. They will not get the same player at least equally back.
Yeah, see, I don't agree with that. You think more of Cutler than I do.
Well, I think that let me ask you this then. If you get rid of Cutler, who replaces him?
Chris Sims? That's
a huge question.
I don't know.
Chris Sims is not as good as Cutler. That's for sure.
That's exactly what I was going to say. If you want to say Chris Sims, yeah, I totally agree with you. You've taken a big step backward. But, you know, I think you have to have faith in your own ability to find players and scout players. And I think that McDaniels probably has some faith in himself. Maybe it won't be this year. But what if he drafted somebody?
Right.
Jim, I said earlier on the show.
And then 2 years, you know, like right. last year, was Matt Ryan better than Jay Cutler last year? I don't know. Maybe.
Yep.
They were comparable.
He had a running game. He had a running game in Atlanta.
Yeah, and
that helped him.
I understand
So it wasn't like Matt Ryan had the greatest year of all time. It made it better because he's got skilled receivers. He had a running game, and that kid they got from San Diego had a big year.
What did Cutler have for weapons?
He had no running game last year. He put up 4,500 yards.
Yeah, but he had better receivers than Matt Ryan.
He threw the ball more than any other quarterback in football.
Because he had to.
And they didn't win any games.
Was awful, and they have to score.
But he had Brandon Marshall. He had Eddie Royal. He had Brandon Stokely. I mean, you say what you want about Daniel Graham, but he made some plays for them down the stretch. They had some weapons on offense.
Without question, but they had a limited running game and a defense that was going to be outscored on any given game. They had to outscore everybody.
I understand that, but we're throwing a lot of stats out here for Jay Cutler and 4,500 yards. I mean, these are the kind of stats that people used to make fun of Drew Bledsoe for. I got to be honest with you. He threw the ball more than everybody, and that's why he threw for more yards. And people criticized Bledsoe.
I think he threw because he had to.
Of course Bledsoe threw because
Bledsoe,
he had to.
Yeah.
Jim, here's the scenario I offered earlier in the show was that maybe the Broncos should try to work out a deal with Cleveland and swap quarterbacks there. Have Brady Quinn go to Denver, have Cutler go to Cleveland.
Yeah, but I want a draft. If I'm Denver, I want Quinn and a draft pick.
Okay, fine. Yeah. But I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I would agree with Fred on that one. Oh, my God. I'm sounding like Fred. Somebody stop me.
Yeah, no, but I agree with both of you. I agree with Jim.
Yeah.
I think if you get Brady Quinn and a draft pick, that's a good trade for Denver.
I would take that trade. And, I mean, I don't know. I don't think you're going to get the fifth pick or the third pick in the draft, but I would take Quinn, maybe a one next year and maybe a two this year. I'd do that. But again,
I don't know if I'm Cleveland if I do that now. I mean,
well,
like I said,
I've talked to a lot of Cleveland fans. They would make that trade.
The guy's played 37 games, and he's thrown 37 interceptions.
Okay.
He's mistake prone.
That's a fair argument, by the way, Paul.
He's mistake prone.
I concede that to you.
And listen, about 2 months ago, we had a conversation about Matt Castle and his place among all the other quarterbacks. I had Cutler as being ahead of Castle.
Okay.
I don't think that their skills are even comparable. Cutler is 1,000 times better when it comes to the skills needed to play football, to play quarterback.
See, that's where I might disagree with you, Paul.
Well, I don't think there really is an argument
to be made for pure throwing, yeah, Cutler might be better. But there are other skills that are necessary in the NFL.
Like what?
Mental.
You're talking about intangibles. I can't.
That's not intangible.
Matt Castle has them all over.
Mental ability is not. That's a tangible. Skill.
What's Jason Campbell's mental ability?
I don't know. I don't know enough about him
because it's intangible.
Not even close. Jason Campbell.
No. People that know Jason Campbell know his mental ability. It
could be anybody. The only one that Fred knows. Their mental ability is Tom Brady and Matt Castle. He doesn't know it for anybody else.
I know Jay Cutler.
Peyton Manning, you know.
I know Peyton Manning.
How do you know? You know Peyton Manning.
I know
Jay Cutler?
I know what they've been saying.
Okay, so you don't know for sure. It's an intangible.
But
you're
people
only going
who
off
do
of what
know
say.
Are saying it.
I'm talking about skills that you can watch, that you can see.
But when a guy,
the ability to throw the ball,
when
the ability to move, the ability to run.
When a guy throws 37 interceptions in 37 games, that means there's a mental thing.
Why?
He's making bad decisions.
How do you know?
That's
if
what
you don't see it, you don't know that. I personally think you're right. I think he makes bad decisions, but don't tell me that's a skill. That's mental. By definition, it's not a skill.
It's part of the package. Quarterback, and it's not intangible. It's tangible.
It's intangible. You don't know if a guy made a throw because he thought that was the right read or not?
Look, there are some quarterbacks that are smarter quarterbacks than others.
But you just don't know which ones those are.
It shows on the field, Paul. It shows by their decision making. It shows in 2-minute situations. It shows on the goal line. It shows in pressure.
That's a perfect one. There was no better quarterback in a 2-minute situation than Drew Bledsoe. Do you think he had it all over Tom Brady
no.
as far as mental? That would be a laughable statement.
He may not have been as good, but he certainly was a smart guy.
It didn't show then.
The thing that separates Brady and Bledsoe is decision making.
Absolutely,
Brady
Jim.
Makes much quicker decisions.
Absolutely.
Not better ones, but he's able to read a defense a step quicker. And that was the one thing that hurt Bledsoe the majority of his career. Eric, I got to throw this out to you real quick.
Horrible.
You guys, Biggie Hood came to the Pats the other day. What do you think about him going to us at 34? Because I this other question about 23.
You'll have to say that again because 2G played a clip. And
yeah,
I
missed it too. I wanted to hear that.
Okay, Ziggy Hood, your boy, came to interview with the Pats the other day. Mm-hmm. He was on the Globe.
Yep.
What do you think about him coming to New England with the 34th pick in the draft? Are you guys big on him or no? As I'm playing end in this system.
Let me. I'm going to refer to my notes as to what I saw on TV.
He really does have 98, notes.
98 runs pretty well. Pretty strong guy. Physical. He reminds a lot
he
of
was
people.
Very,
Chris Canty.
Yeah, very powerful and quick. I said, you know, he got his hands up quickly at the snap. You know, we tried.
Yeah, good hands, good.
Yep. And I liked his tackling technique. He wasn't one of these lazy, just throw your shoulder into the guy kind of thing. I liked him. He wasn't one of my favorite guys as far as the tackles go. But if he slips into the second round, the thing now is, Jim, a lot of mock drafts that I'm looking at for this next issue, have Ziggy Hood. Half of them have him going in the first round, so I'm not sure.
You take him at 23, then, if that's the case.
I don't. No, I wouldn't. I'd rather go with someone like Larry English at that spot.
I would too. I mean, again, we're going back to guys. Do me a favor. Have 2G put me on hold right now. I want to buy y'all lunch. You guys motivate the God's honest truth out of me. I love the Patriots. I love the show. Have him put me on hold. I'm buying you lunch Thursday unless
nice
somebody's done it.
You're a great man, Jim.
Love it, Jim.
You're
Jim in Texas.
Man. Hang on.
Come on, run him at me. Come on, Fred. One more time.
Jim has gone way up there.
He is my favorite caller. I was thinking about it earlier.
A lot of passion.
There's no more thought. He's my favorite caller.
Hey, what happened?
But, Paul, another example of a good argument. We're arguing whether the mental asset, the mental ability of a quarterback is a tangible or intangible asset. That's a good argument.
That's a good argument. Sure. Yeah.
Basically, we're arguing something what we define as tangible or intangible.
Right. I believe the mental ability of a quarterback is tangible. It can be measured
at times. Yes.
If it's measurable, it's tangible.
Yeah. It's measurable at times, I think.
Okay. Anyway.
Speaking of passion, what we haven't been getting many of the audio MP3.
Yeah, that kind of it takes a little effort.
What's going on? What happened to our boy Mikey Vandalism? What happened?
I'd like to hear some more. Yeah,
Stephen Hawking. Yeah,
yeah.
Where are you guys? What's going on?
Dan Heffron says we talked about the odds of picking the schedule right just randomly.
Yeah. He figured it out.
Okay. Yeah, he said the odds of picking the schedule of 11 games in order is about the same as winning the lottery, about 40 million to 1. 13 game hits over 6 billion to 1. There's no worry that the order will be right if he just picked the games randomly.
And if he does, he'll prove to be an idiot savant.
Right.
Well, he's got half of that already.
Right.
So that's
and I don't mean savant.
That's funny. Good stuff. Let's see what else we got here. We got a lot of emails here.
Show's going by quick, huh? It's an hour.
Keeping on.
He's actually reading emails in the first hour too.
We're in the second hour already.
Yeah,
did you know that?
Yeah.
TG and NJ says so. Chris did nothing wrong, but he still screws up. 2G and Eric.
Yes.
2G and Eric and now John from LA are all in a three-way cat fight.
All right, relax.
The Tuesday Giselle show sucked. What the hell is going on over there, Fred? I can't believe I'm saying this, but when does Andy get back?
Oh, shut up.
And did you guys hear something about Willie McGinnis coming back? I can't believe
it. Yeah, I don't believe it.
He said on NFL Network that
he
could see. Yeah. He could see coming back here, the right place and the right time and all that stuff.
We're looking to get younger.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to see Willie back here in the organization, but not on the field.
Yeah.
You know, I'd love to have him around. You know, I think that would be great.
Really?
Put him in charge of in-game state entertainment.
Right. Maybe he could produce the show.
He has his
Willie McGinnis
55 Entertainment. Isn't that the name of his?
I don't want
him company.
On my show.
You don't.
What's it?
5-5 Entertainment.
5-5 Entertainment.
Double Nickels.
5-5. I hope they don't bring him back.
As a player or as the
as anything
of the show?
Anything.
Why wouldn't he fit in on the show?
You know what?
Fit in on the show?
I will say this. He came back with some of the other guys that toured the hall before it opened.
Yes.
And he was great.
He was.
When he came back.
You know, he really seemed, just so what, Paul, we brought certain guys that played together back here in clumps, and we sat them down and recorded a bunch of, you know, stories that they had, and you can hear them all in the Hall of Patriot Place right now, presented by Raytheon. And Willie McGinnis was one of those guys. We brought him back with Drew Bledsoe,
Todd Rucci,
and Zolak.
Was here.
So it was a good group of guys. But he really was into it. Not just to telling the stories, but before he did the tour, just
he
the idea of
liked,
having like, this Hall of Fame.
You know, sometimes
he
you think
really
that maybe the players
it.
Would be too cool to like go yeah. through this hall, especially yeah. at the time. It wasn't even really built yet. It was kind of just a
the
structure.
Shell, the shell of the building
yeah.
was up.
I mean, you could walk through it, and Brian was telling everybody what was going to be where, but there was no exhibits. It was all just dust and concrete
yeah,
with girders still showing.
Mm. And, who farted?
And you would think that maybe they felt like they were a little, you know, I'm too cool for this. I'm Willie McGinnis. Mm-hmm. I'm Drew Bledsoe. But they got into it. It was good, you know.
That's good. That's
Todd
good to
Rucci,
know.
Who I never really spoke to because the one year that I was here that he played, he didn't talk.
Yeah.
You know, the offensive lineman didn't
Bruce
know
Armstrong Bruce was
Armstrong
the only one that
was
allowed
guy
to talk. Right.
So.
Someone's at the door without Andy here?
This Maybe is webmaster Andy. Chris Ferrer from Patriots.com. Now it's time for Andy Hart's Urban Dictionary Word of the Day. That's Word of the Day. You suck, Andy.
Well, I'm going to fill in for Andy here. And in honor of the arrival of his daughter and the wonderful artwork they put together at
PFWandProgress.com,
they have a nice, the female version of the Tom Brady shirt, the white one with the pink letters.
Right.
And then on the back it says S. Hart.
Shart.
Right.
Right.
Well, that's funny you should say that, Fred.
Yeah.
The word of the day is shart.
Shart. Nice.
That's shart.
Let's email it to Andy.
Is there a sentence in which you can use the
word? I sharted at the party last night and went home pronto to change my clothes.
Something with
I can
which
actually
Andy is
I can
familiar.
Actually read the definition of this one. It's a small unintended defecation that occurs when one relaxes the anal sphincter to fart.
Okay.
Again, something with which Andy is very familiar.
I thought they called those Hershey
squirts.
Hershey
squirts is what we called them.
Right.
Maybe
right.
we're too old, Freddie.
Right.
You know.
Let's see. Iggy
kids
from,
nowadays, they don't know.
I know.
They don't know from sharting.
They're smart. Iggy from Madrid says, wow, Josh is really screwed up in Denver. Either he has to do a deal, has to deal with a rookie QB they draft or with a Jay Cutler that obviously has lost his mind. Now he claims he does not want to be traded. After he sold his house in Denver, told the media he wanted to be traded, did not show up to the team's activities. He is a baby, and babyface McDaniels knew it. That's why he wanted Castle.
I'm starting to think that's the crux of this issue.
Could
be. He got there and saw how this guy handled things and said, I don't want to be in a foxhole with this guy.
It is, of course, easy to speak after the fact, but I bet Josh would be now more than happy to trade his first-round pick for Castle. And congratulations to Andy for being the new dad. So, that's that. Oh, hey, John in Palm Bay is back. John, how you doing?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Sorry about the hold before.
That's no problem. My phone died anyway.
Oh, it died?
Oh.
Are you on Skype?
No.
Oh. So, what's going on?
Hey, I got a couple, actually, a true, false, and a multiple choice question.
Oh, okay. All right. Alex Trebek just called.
Oh, yes.
Okay, when the Patriots win the Super Bowl this year, Bill Belichick will retire.
False.
False.
Yeah, I'll say false. I'm not confident about that.
I like true false questions.
Okay.
My multiple choice question is the next Patriot head coach will be Urban Meyer, Charlie Weiss, Romeo Cannell, or someone else.
Someone else.
Yep.
And I think I asked this one a long time ago, but Tom Brady will retire as a Patriot.
I'm going to go false with that
one
as well.
That's a good one. That one I have to think about.
I'm going to say true as well.
Yeah. But I'm just going to play the odds. I'm just going to say false because nowadays,
I'm going to say true, but it might happen sooner than you would have
you think he's going to retire? If he retires soon, then I say as a Patriot. I'm saying he plays beyond this contract
and then
he gets that contract.
If that's
from
the case, he's probably from someone else. You're right.
And when would you guys put your draft schedule up there?
You mean as far as the show goes?
Yeah.
We
I'm glad you asked, John.
Yeah. The schedule is Saturday will be on from 3 to 6 in the evening Eastern time.
6 to 9. 6 to 9.
I'm sorry. I got it wrong already. 6 to 9 on Saturday, 12 to 3 on Sunday.
Do you want me to tape it to the wall, Fred?
Please.
And I have a question.
Don't play any tricks on me.
You'll put the wrong nine.
Last year when the Patriots drafted, I think you guys had just left the air and they traded or something in the first or second round, or maybe it was day two.
It was definitely not in the – yeah, it might have been day two, but definitely not in
you guys
the first
either just went off or just were about to come on the air. Is there any way, like, if the Patriots jump up or jump down in the draft, like, except for seeing like the first round or – maybe day two.
We will not miss the first round. The first two rounds, we will not. Well, we won't miss the first round pick. That's for sure. We will definitely be on the air for the first round pick.
You know, because we got to remember, John, these guys are doing other things on draft day too. We got to update the site. We've got to do interviews. So, you know, 3 hours out of the day is actually a pretty big chunk for us.
And
so,
if you wanted us to just do the radio show, I'm more than happy with that.
I know. Yeah.
I've been lobbying that for that for 5 years.
So. All right, guys.
All right, John.
All right, John.
John had a little bit more time today. Wasn't as hurried.
Yeah, I like John's true-false questions.
I do, too. That's a good one.
You know, that Brady thing, that's kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm. It is.
No one retired. You know, Peyton Manning, you know, I don't know. Is he going to go somewhere? Or is he just going to stay with the Colts?
I think
think Manning will stay with the Colts.
Yeah.
Something tells me that Brady finishes career on the West Coast somewhere, San Francisco, something.
The new LA team.
If he wants to play. if he wants to play that long.
Fred's just going to go down swinging with that LA team. You and Mr. Kraft are going to go down together.
PJ and Philly. Hey, fellas.
PJ
Nacarelli? Yeah, long time no right. I don't know. I heard Andy saying that he didn't know much about Greg Lewis or G. Lou, as he's called by his teammates. I'm an Eagles fan here in Philly, and I have had a season ticket for 15 years. I've seen every game that Greg Lewis has played. He stinks.
Oh. I thought he was going to say, you guys really got a good player.
He was the fifth or maybe sixth receiver last year in a less than stellar receiving core. He was behind the likes of DeSean Jackson, Kevin Curtis, Hank Baskett.
Jackson had a great rookie year.
Yeah. Hank Baskett, Kevin Curtis, Reggie Brown, who eventually got benched, and Jason Avant. Most fans here wondered every training camp why he was still on the team and whether he had pictures of Andy Reid. With that being said, a local radio host, Howard Eskin, reported that the Pats have been asking about G. Lou for 3 years now.
I'll tell you what it goes back to.
So maybe BB's seen something the Eagles fans don't. Yeah.
And Belichick has been pretty open about stuff like that. Ricky Prohl.
Yeah.
And you know, guys that have hurt Belichick in the past, Wes Welker is the glaring example.
Yeah.
And that worked out well.
He's been interested in those guys.
He sees what he can do with them. So, you know, I'll get it to us. I just want to finish his email. But as for Willie McGinnis, I saw on ProFootballTalk.com that he's said he's looking for the right situation to play one more year and that the Patriots fit that requirement. Is he worth signing to be a situational pass rusher and mentor to the guys like Crable and whoever they may draft at outside linebacker this year?
I would rather them go younger, but situational, not to rely on him as an every down.
If it wasn't for taking up a roster spot, of course. But those roster spots are valuable.
I know that Jason Taylor is a better player than Willie McGinnis, and he is. I mean, there's no argument. But isn't it kind of similar if you're asking him to come in? I mean, can't you get almost what you got out of what you would hope to get out of Taylor?
Well, okay. If I think Jason Taylor right now is a better player than Willie McGinnis,
he always has been.
So I'd rather, you know, for that reason. But if they were even, I'd rather have McGinnis so he could finish his career as a Patriot. You know, that's the only reason, really. So
if Taylor was out of the picture, I would not be opposed to bringing Willie back for a year.
I wouldn't be.
If you can't get Taylor.
But Pepper. I'm not looking at it as, they got McGinnis, he's going to contribute. I don't look for a lot of contribution from him.
I don't either.
He's getting old.
Exactly.
He is getting old. There's no doubt about that.
He is old. He's not getting there. He's old.
I mean,
you know, wouldn't you rather have Vrabel?
Sure, but that's not an option.
I know it is, but, you know.
You heard this speaker.
You didn't hear me saying, I think that was a great move that they released Vrabel. I didn't.
Well, it depends on what they do now.
No, it doesn't.
They freed up a little money. What are they going to do now?
Let me ask you guys this.
I'd rather have Vrabel than Taylor.
Are you still...
I don't know about that.
Are you guys still...
Right now, I'd rather have Vrabel than Taylor.
No way.
3 years ago, I'd rather have Taylor than pretty much any other outside linebacker in the league.
There seemed to be a consensus in everything you read that the Patriots are going to get either Jason Taylor or Julius Peppers. Do you guys
fall into that?
No, I don't. They could end up with neither.
I think
very easily.
I think they're going to end up with Jason Taylor. Yes.
So you think it's one or the other?
I don't think Peppers is really a possibility. I know you do, but I just think there's too much.
Okay.
Going on
no, because I was going to ask, because it seems to from everything I've read outside of this organization, it seems like most people are convinced that it's one of those two guys that's going to be here.
Yeah.
How much stock do you place in the fact that Taylor was talking the other day about seriously talking to Miami about going back there? And
I thought it was kind of a throwaway line. What did you think?
I kind of thought he was serious.
No, I'm not saying he wasn't serious, but I thought it was one of those. I played my whole career in Miami, and yeah, I could go back to Miami. You know, and I didn't necessarily think that he was talking to Miami. Did you? Did you feel like there was some talk there?
I thought there might have been some talk.
Maybe like a negotiation.
No,
kind of deal?
I thought he was just throwing it out there.
I thought he was too.
I thought he was really talking about going back there.
That's interesting.
Well, he said, but you mean talking to them about going back there?
Yeah, just or at least trying to gauge their interest in him coming back.
It seemed to me that he was just throwing it out there.
And you don't want to be, you know, if you're Jason Taylor, you don't want to appear to be disrespectful to Miami. You spent your whole career there.
Right.
I'm sure he has a lot of fond memories of the Dolphins. And, you know, I don't want you guys to think that I forgot about you. Hey, I could go back. I could come back and finish my career there.
Exactly. Same way Willie said it.
Because I guess what I'm leading towards is if he were to go back to Miami, would that put an impetus on the Patriots to try to do whatever they can to get Peppers?
Whatever they can, no.
Not whatever they can,
but
yes.
Heat it up a little.
Yes, I think it would heat it up.
Yeah.
And you know what, Eric? They need somebody.
They do.
Need somebody.
They do.
You can't, in my opinion, you can't go into the season with Adalys Thomas on one side.
And Pierre Woods.
And some combination of Pierre Woods,
Tully
Bantakane, Sean Crable, and Vince Redd. Right. On the other side.
Yeah.
On the ESPN scroll, it says that Channing Crowder said that Jason Taylor told him he wants to go back to Miami.
Okay, so maybe Eric's right. Maybe Eric is right. First time
but
ever.
But Channing Crowder isn't anyone that's going to do that deal. So
no,
we
but
don't
no,
yet
but how,
know if he's talking to the team.
No, but players, if players talk to each other.
Yeah.
Yes.
And if he's their friends and he says to him, you know what, man, I'm going to come back. Why shouldn't Crowder believe him?
Yeah. No, I'm
interested in coming back.
Right.
You know what I mean?
But that doesn't mean Miami, the organization, wants him back.
Or he said, hey,
no,
you know,
no,
I've...
No. I think he's saying, Jason Taylor's saying, Miami's a possibility. I think it's a legit possibility, more than a throwaway line, which is what I kind of took it as.
Yeah.
Right.
All right.
I'm just saying, there's substance behind what he said. It's not just
to
be nice to Miami.
Hey, 2G, nice job.
Good effort.
Nice job by you.
Strippers informs us that day two of the draft does indeed start at 10 o'clock.
Okay.
Excellent. Never mind.
What?
I was going to say, where did he find that?
Because you couldn't find it all morning, right?
Neither could any of the PR staff.
I know. I'm not laughing at you. I'm just saying it's funny because we were looking all morning for it.
Let's see.
I can't tell you how many different places I found websites that said the first day starts at 3. And I know it starts
at
4.
It's at 4 o'clock.
TGNJ says that maybe Eric can paint the picture of himself kicking a field goal instead of actually kicking one. At least we know he can do this, right? I have no formal kicking training. Plink, plink.
Who was that?
TGNJ. Eric writes, Todd writes.
Glad you're taking
Todd Porter. Did Eric try it left-footed? Maybe that's your strong leg. I bet he fakes a back injury.
I'm going hamstring.
Listen,
groin.
I'll go out and do it even if it means that it'll be the same type of effort I put out last week when I went and tried it. I'm not going
to
not do it. I'll do it with him. Even if I have to humiliate myself.
Listen to me.
You heard him. I'll
first
do it
time
with
him. You talked about this, you were talking about stepping back and doing it from 50, okay? So I don't want to hear any backtracking now. You get your ass on the field.
He said he was doing it no matter what.
No,
were you not paying attention?
Look, I'm going to do it no matter what, even if I fall flat on my face. That's a lot different than before. Hey, if I start getting hot, I'll move back 50.
I might even go to the left.
Right.
I might start
You're telling me you didn't want me to hype the thing up?
I want you to continue hyping it up, and I want you out there training.
Okay.
I want you to answer this question.
Can I leave early today to go train?
No.
No.
It gets darker later now. There's plenty of light after work.
Answer this question honestly.
He's afraid to go out on dark.
On dark?
On North Providence. Very tough neighborhood.
There are no lights on the
field. Well, sometimes in the hills, too, they block the sunlight.
Right. That's true.
What? Answer this honestly.
Okay.
You expected to kick more through the uprights?
Oh, hell yes.
That
of course
time.
I did. Yeah.
So don't tell me you were hyping it up. You went out there and said,
Oh, poop. I only made two.
Out of 20.
Yes, I expected to make
that. So when you were hype, when you were doing that bit that 2G put together there?
Yeah, about moving
that
back.
That wasn't hype. You thought you were going to make them
and
all
Eric,
challenge
wouldn't
them.
It have been better to be wide and have the distance than, as you say, accurate,
no.
but
no, because,
short?
No, because I think...
What's harder to fix?
Right.
I would think that the distance would be harder to fix.
Yeah.
You know, like I could try all I want and say...
Right.
Jeez.
It was straight.
I'm hitting my drives off the drive. I'm hitting them down the middle every time, but they're only going 200 yards.
But right. part,
well,
part
I'd rather
of,
that well, than be all over the place.
Right.
Part of it, too, was I was trying consciously not to injure myself. Because it was the first time in 15 years I'd done anything similar to that. I hadn't kicked a soccer ball or anything like that.
Right.
So oh, my God.
Subconsciously.
What warm-ups did you do prior? Did you warm up? Did you stretch out?
Yeah, the same stuff I always used to do. Stretch out.
Did you have a nutritional shake like Andy would?
No. No, because Andy filled those shakes with other substances that
That's
you're not
true.
Supposed to have.
I could just see Eric
creatine.
On this field by himself in North Providence doing all these stretching, and this guy with his walking his dog just looking at a distance at him.
What
shaking
the hell
his head.
Is that kid
just shaking
doing?
His head. What the hell?
Some
he
old
doing?
Guy. What the hell's going
I'll
on?
Tell you what, though, Fred. It's not easy getting older.
And somebody's like, hey, it's Garrow, you premier.
I do kind of have the hairstyle. I got, yeah. Although he's a fat little round man.
Now he is.
He was funny at that Super Bowl thing, too, remember?
When he got a chance to talk, when Mercury Morris wasn't hogging
the
microphone.
But he was funny, too. I have to be honest. Mercury Morris is pretty entertaining.
You know what? Everybody made fun of Mercury Morris like the guy's nuts. But at the end of the day, he was pretty good.
But you know what was funny about that? The whole time, you didn't go to that thing with us, did you? It was just Andy, Eric, and me.
Just the three of us.
Well, when they had the thing, I was there.
They had the press conference at Super Bowl week in Arizona.
Yeah, I was there.
You went?
I stood in the back.
Okay.
Yeah.
You did?
I mean, that was, they made the big elaborate project about the video they were putting out
right,
and all
right.
that. And it was funny. It was entertaining. I enjoyed it. It was a little long.
It was
but
a commercial
I,
that they
yeah,
shot. Yeah,
I enjoyed it, okay? I thought it was funny. But the whole time that it was on, I was thinking... These guys, they don't realize the Patriots are going undefeated.
I know.
I didn't even give it a second.
I know.
The whole time.
I was like, these poor guys, they're putting all this work into it and all for nothing.
Yeah, and we were all wrong.
We were wrong.
Oh, God. Andre in Plymouth, New Hampshire. Hey, guys, great show. I can now listen live with Flash. Good. See, another Flash person. What do you think of Patrick Chung, safety from Oregon?
I
think he's
like
a little short, but overall has good size and intangibles and is a reliable team leader. As far as Castle goes, maybe we could have gotten more, maybe not. What's done is done. Time to move forward and look into the draft. Thanks, guys, and congratulations, Andy.
I agree with
Patrick Chung.
I agree with Paul. I think Chung's a little overrated. Not a bad player. He hustles a lot. He's versatile. He's also a kick returner, punt returner. But I think there are some other guys at that position who are probably a little bit higher on my draft board.
Yeah, I mean he's a little on the small side too. I think the way that the listener described him is accurate. I think he looked like one of those real team leader types, and you know he was around the ball a lot. He kind of looked to me. One of those real good, solid college players. Now, he's going to be a first-day pick, probably.
Yeah.
Probably go in the second round. I don't think it was an exceptionally deep – well, I shouldn't say deep. I don't think it was an exceptionally talented group of safeties, but I thought there were a lot of guys that could play.
Yeah.
I didn't think there were no Ed Reed, LaRon Landry, Michael Hopman, Dante Whitner, Michael Griffin. There were no
15 – top 10 picks like the last
one. It may only have been one guy. There's only one guy even remotely close to the first round, and that's the kid from Missouri, William Moore.
Oh, William Moore, yeah. Yep.
And
he's legit, though. I think he's
a nice player.
But he's not like a top 10, top 15 pick.
But I do think that there were some guys that had real good ball skills. Mm-hmm. A lot of guys had good hands. They did nice things when they got the ball, too.
Yep.
And some of these guys, Fred, when we watched them, you could see that their teams – found ways to get the ball in their hands, and some of them played offense. And these were both corners
special
and
teams,
safeties.
Returners.
Start listening. I got to start watching my film.
Yeah.
Well, that's, I just happen to see some
of these. I
need
a sense of urgency out of you.
I need it. I have to get going on that.
You do. The draft's only 3 weeks away.
Just frazzled.
I know.
It's
a busy week.
I'm really frazzled.
It's a busy week
now, too. And Andy really, I got to have a talk with Deidre when she's feeling better.
Yeah.
That's not what we were looking for to have.
Well, he mailed it in while Paul was on vacation because he thought every day was the day.
Right.
So he was kind of mailing it in. now that it actually happened, he's not here, and Paul wasn't here during his vacation.
And I was actually mailing
and
him
because
I wasn't here.
Because he wasn't here. So sure. we're scrambling a little this
and this
week.
This is, in my opinion, my favorite issue of the year, too. The draft preview issue was the one I liked
the
most.
Draft preview is a big, thick issue. Mm. Where's Andy when you need him?
I know.
Matt from Florida.
That's what she said.
Matt from Florida says, with Tom.
Thanks, Tucci.
With Tom coming back this season, all my friends who are Dolphins fans are bragging that Brady is going to go down again, and this time it's going to be by that Porter character. So my question is, will the Pats make a move at Orlando Pace or solve it through the draft? So solve it, I guess he means he thinks that there's not enough protection for Tom Brady.
I think they could improve a little bit in that area.
I think you could definitely improve in that area. I don't think his protection is a big problem.
I mean, the play with Pollard
was really not a protection.
He had the ball for quite a while.
He did. Yeah. And
I mean,
you saw it.
The guy got chopped down got up.
Right, and it was a safety blitz, and the guy responsible for him is not a lineman. It's the running back, and it was Sammy Morris who was trying to protect. Yep. And he did for the most part. It just
I mean, I feel
he got
like
him on the ground, and then the guy lunged
in
at
a situation like that. If you block, if your assignment is to block someone, and you actually put that guy in the ground, that should be enough time for the pass to get thrown.
Right.
You know, when you have a quarterback like Brady, he's obviously part of the defensive game plan. I remember seeing Joe Montana absolutely get killed from the blind side. You know, unbelievable. Just
the Giants,
you know, right in his
back. That's Giants the famous playoff game.
Yeah.
That's the famous clip.
I mean, that's where he hurt one
when
of
he
his,
hurt himself.
Exactly.
Right.
You know,
it was
so
the end of his career, basically.
It happens.
In San Francisco.
On a spear, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
Yep.
That pretty much ended his career in San Francisco, though.
It did.
So, you know, you stand back there, you're going to get hit in this league. Mark from Cheddar, that's England, says, hi, guys, and Paul.
Wow.
Congratulations, Andy. Now, I haven't been able to listen to last Thursday or Tuesday yet. I plan to today, but a few things I need to mention. Last Tuesday, I think, someone mentioned that they didn't want the NFL turning into field hockey with whistles all the time. I am a field hockey coach, player, and umpire, and you are just wrong. Simple as that.
Wow!
But see, the thing is,
well,
about
the men play field
that's
hockey.
Exactly
in the
it.
UK.
In America, in, it's only
women.
The girls
right.
and the women. Mm. It's a different game, right, than the men?
Well, no, it's basically
the
same type
same?
Of game, but it's considered a woman's sport. Here.
I know from
more
experience,
whistles.
Dude.
Yeah, very well done, Shuji. Yeah. I like that.
Anyway, he says now on to Pompous Eric. On
hey,
his
wait a minute now.
On his article about Copen, he writes, Bill, and in parentheses Belichick, the Pats head coach, does a great job of that every year. Why, oh why, does he think that people who are reading this, and by that they must have gone on the Patriots website and actively found it, will not know who Bill is? I would allow him to put Belichick just. Why not later on put Brady, quarterback, New England Patriots? So why did you do it that way?
Because if Mark knew anything about journalism, which apparently he doesn't, when you write an article, you don't assume that the first mention of a person is widely known by everybody who's ever going to see the article. So you always make the first mention of somebody a full explanation of who they are.
Right, right.
Technically, Eric is right.
Right.
I don't do that for Belichick. I assume that.
Well, it would require extra keystrokes, and you wouldn't mind
doing that. I make the assumption along with, is it Mark?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Along with Mark, that
because it's on a team website.
People reading Patriots Football Weekly and Patriots.com know who Bill Belichick is.
Oh, all right, but it is proper.
But
to
he's
do
right.
It.
Yeah. Eric is right. There's no doubt about that. There's just that. You know, all I have to do is ask him. Just ask him. Right.
Also, Mark says I have heard a lot about Ray Maliuga and possibly moving up in the draft to get him. Do you think this would be a good idea, or would you prefer to see him trade more picks into next year than do that? And I assume he means him as Belichick. Head
Bill,
coach.
The head coach of the New England Patriots. I don't think they should trade up to get Maliuga. If he falls to them, great. But I wouldn't want to trade up to get him.
I agree. I don't think you need to trade up in a draft where people are saying 20 to 40 is the same. You can get good players, mm-hmm. same kind of deal. No need to trade up.
Also, an update on Maliuga. He injured himself at the combine running the 40. He pulled a hamstring.
I remember.
He ran again yesterday at USC's Pro Day, which by all accounts was a star-studded event.
I saw a lot of highlights of that.
He cut about 2/10 of a second off his 40.
He ran a 4.7?
Ran like a 4.69.
Wow, yeah, that's a big difference.
So he did well. Sanchez apparently threw the lights out. He was phenomenal from what I saw. But I know Pats fans want to know a lot about Maliuga, and he actually shaved some time off. Two of their other guys, though, pulled hamstrings running the 40 yesterday. lesser guys like that Kerry Harris guy.
I was going to say Kevin Ellison.
And there was one other guy who I don't remember now which one it was, but it was one of those second tier starters who is probably going to get drafted.
Not one of the linebackers, though?
No, I don't think so. It wasn't Matthews or Cushing, no. It was one of the other guys, maybe a defensive lineman, I think. But Maluga did well.
Florio has posted...
listening to PFW in Progress, they're making fun of me.
As speculation continues regarding the next destination of free agent defensive end Jason Taylor, two of his former teammates are trying their damnedest to get him back in town. They want him and they think he wants them. Quote, I went fishing with JT 2 weeks ago. He wants to be a Dolphin. Linebacker Channing Crowder told Mason Kelly of the South Florida Sun-Sentinel.
That's what 2G.
I would love to have JT back. It would add a whole new dimension to a defense that in spurts looked really good last year. He's one of my closest friends. He kind of brought me up in the league when I was a young guy, so I love him to death. Linebacker Joey Porter agreed. We've talked about it, but at the end of the day, that's all we can do is talk about it. It's still for the people upstairs to decide, Porter said. But I love Jason. He can't do anything but help us. If there's a way we can get him back, we want him back. It's kind of tough to talk about it when the front office really has to handle it. I don't like to go outside my coaches because at the end of the day, they've got to make the final decision, and I'm with them all the way. Jason, I talk to him every day, so he knows I need him.
That's Joey Porter who said that?
Apparently.
That's the smartest thing he's ever said.
But you know what I was thinking? Here's a real responsible comment coming out of Joey Porter, which in and of itself is news.
I'm dumbfounded.
But even within that, he finds like three different ways to say, that's not for me to say, that's those guys in the front office.
Right.
I don't want to step outside my coaches.
All right. But you just did.
Even when he's saying the right thing, he's controversial. Now, let me ask you this, Fred. Let's say that Taylor does go back to Miami. That's not a bad team, as we know. They are the defending division champs, Brady injury or not.
He has to take a step back this year. But anyway, yeah.
I would agree. Yeah. I would agree. But I'm trying to look at this a little bit more objectively, so I don't know. Do something to try to allow you to do that. I don't know what it would be. That defense, I know the numbers probably were better than the unit actually was. I don't think it was overly talented, but they found a way to keep points off the board for the most part. You add Taylor to the mix, and they can find a way to get Porter and Taylor working together. Now, that didn't work real well the first year they were together, and Porter talked a lot last year that helped him being on that side, coming from the blind side, and he said he didn't get that opportunity the year before. They've made some additions there. You still have a draft coming.
Now,
Pennington with another hole. Is that a threat? Are they a formidable threat?
Something that just occurred to me.
He couldn't do it. He couldn't put the objectivity hat on.
Something that just occurred to me is, Jason Taylor's out there. He's a free agent. He wants to play football this year. What if the Patriots is really the only team that has shown interest? So he's telling his buddies, hey, can you talk it up a little bit? I got to get something going here. I can't have the Patriots being my only option here.
And thereby lower his what he gets for a contract?
Yeah. I want to play, but I just as soon play in Miami. Can you help me out here? Talk it up a little bit?
It's possible.
Maybe.
Yeah. Mike in Providence. You know Mike?
Yes.
Does he live on a hill?
Yes.
He says, how much do you think the suddenly tougher division, we just talked about this, affects the Patriots' chances this year? With Dark Horse Buffalo and Rex Ryan Jets that took a ton of starters from the Ravens defense in God knows what in Miami.
It doesn't change the final result, which is New England winning the AFC East.
You got to think that.
I think, that would change the final result because they didn't win the AFC East last year.
No, the final, what everyone's been saying this
but,
year.
But the Jets right now, today, are not as good as they were last year. I'm sorry, they don't have a quarterback. And for all the mistakes that Brett Favre made, they don't have a quarterback that's capable of doing even what Brett Favre did last year.
Getting them to
9-7.
9-7.
Maybe one of those guys surprises everybody. I find it hard to believe Kellen Clemens is the guy.
And I've seen Eric Ainge struggle.
Eric Ainge, I don't think can play. All due respect to his uncle.
And who's the...
Ratliff.
Theo Ratliff.
Ratliff had the good preseason last year, but that doesn't mean a thing. So they don't have anything right now at the most important position. I do think they have the makings of a very good defense, however, and I think Ryan's presence alone will probably help that as well. Mm-hmm. You add Bart Scott, with David Harris and you know, another year in the system for Pace and Jenkins. You have Revis, you know, at corner with, you know, they just signed a couple other guys. I know Donald Strickland they signed, but didn't they sign someone else? Oh, they traded for Lito Shepherd.
That's right.
So
almost forgot about him.
Kerry Rhodes in the back. I'm not a huge Lito Shepherd fan, to be honest with you, but I do think that's a good move for them because their secondary was in shambles. Oh,
especially for a fifth-round pick.
Yeah.
That's all they had to give up.
I guess it was a conditional pick. That can be it could be as high as a two. Yeah, it could be as high as a two, but not likely, but probably more of a fourth or fifth round pick. They made a lot of changes, and I think their defense is better for them, but their offense is in shambles.
Yeah.
Without a quarterback. They also lost Coles.
Right. Mike Jason from the hilly area of Providence writes in, I think this is the same guy as the last one. He plays this little trick on me.
Puts a different name.
Puts
so
a little
read an email.
Different email addresses, so but I think them. Anyway, he says Brett Favre was invited to Browns camp to help out with the quarterbacks. Are they trying to make him a part of the staff and therefore get him some sort of contract, or is this just some off-season tutoring? Did you guys hear about this?
I didn't hear about it, and I'm very surprised by it because I didn't get the impression that Mangini was
got along with him
overly.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Enthusiastic about having him in the first place.
Right.
Yeah, but didn't he name his kid after him? After
Yeah.
Right?
That was before the season went down the tubes.
But wasn't it Brett, though? I mean, the name was Brett, wasn't it? It wasn't Favre.
No, it wasn't
Grizzly Unshaven One, I know that.
But my point is, you know, I could have a kid tomorrow and name him Eric. And
no, but
he came out and said. Yeah, it ain't really true.
No, he openly said we named him.
I know he did, but it's Brett. It's not.
Well, if I have a kid and I said,
you know
I'm naming
saying?
Him after you, Paul.
It's a common enough name.
His name would be Paul.
I think if you come up with a name that it's a common name and you like it and you say, oh, yeah, we named him after Brett Favre.
But no, I think he was serious.
Yeah, maybe he was.
Everything's a conspiracy.
That's, you know what? You're right about that. I'm sorry. I don't really believe a lot of the stuff that is told to me. You are correct about that.
The truth is out there, Paul.
I have to work on that.
Did you ever watch The X-Files?
Although somehow, you know, I just blindly accept when it says over the top of a schedule, not in order, that it's not in order.
Oh, you're
crazy. You know, I believe that.
You're crazy.
I don't know.
Let's see. John in Tewksbury wants to know, are there currently any college basketball players you can see becoming potential candidates for the NFL draft?
I haven't heard about any this year.
Mm.
Yeah, we had Kellen Davis last year.
Yeah. But he was also a football player.
Yeah. I haven't heard really any kind of wacky outside-the-box stories.
I don't really remember hearing much about that when Antonio Gates was playing hoops. That he was a potential NFL type.
Gates kind of picked up steam, I thought, after his basketball career was over. I had not heard about that either. Tony Gonzalez, kind of the same thing.
He played football, though, too.
I'm sure there were people that talked about it a lot, but I didn't remember really hearing it a lot.
Gonzalez was a player at Cal who also played basketball. It wasn't like he was just a basketball player.
Yeah, I didn't.
He played football for Cal.
I don't think Gates played any football for, because actually Dean was there then, right? At Kent State, no?
He might have been.
I think he was.
He might have been.
Chris from Stamford, formerly of the Bronx, writes in. He says, first off, I can't tell you how excited I am about the 2009 season schedule. It's perfect. I've already made reservations at Patriot Place, the CBS scene, and the rental car company, so I'm all set.
Oh,
just kidding, nice. Of course, but you know some knucklehead was going to do that.
Presented by Raytheon.
One question, what position do the Pats draft first? I get the feeling that with all the attention paid to linebackers and DBs, they'll go O-line or even wide receiver. Although that would be a bit of a letdown if it works out anywhere near as well as Mayo did, no one can argue. Thanks, guys. Good to have you on. And congratulations to Andy. I feel like I have to be careful joking about his new daughter. So all I'll say is that I'm looking forward to him blogging about it. So
I stick with my prediction.
Go O-line.
O-line's
deep.
It is.
Yeah.
With the first round pick,
yeah.
I see them going outside linebacker.
Outside linebacker?
Yeah.
Okay.
Biggest need right now.
Chris with the TIANs on the phone. Christian, how you doing?
Okay, guys. What's up?
Hey, Christian.
Hey, Fred. You're not mad at me, are you?
Why would I be mad at you?
Because yesterday I put on the PFW site the Forever Screwed Up and put the schedule up on the site. I didn't know it caused such a big stir.
Oh, boy.
Sorry about that, Fred.
That's okay.
You know I love you.
You're not the one that... No, you didn't email Florio, though, did you?
Me? No.
Yeah, I
found out on Pro Football Talk.
That's the one that killed us. That caused the grass fire,
right.
As Stacey put it.
You know what my loyalties lie, Fred.
Right.
I'm with the crew.
Did he call it a grass fire? Really?
Yeah.
couple of things. I saw the USC Pro Day on yesterday. They showed it on NFL Network, and the guys working out and stuff. And the thing that jumps out at you is what athletes they are. Just unbelievable.
Oh,
I mean,
no question.
Watching them play, but just like, I don't know if you guys saw the drills where they were going out and like running, almost like sort of like following like a wideout or something. Just the athletic ability to go up and get the ball and stuff like that. And I know it's a shirt and shorts workout and all that stuff, but I think any one of them would be a pretty good fit for the team. I was wondering what you guys thought about them.
In general, anybody that plays at USC has talent in my mind. I would take a chance on them. There are certain
first pick.
If Mamaluga's there, yeah, I would take. I could see them doing that. I wouldn't fault them for that. I could see that, but. This is assuming that they've already taken care of the problem at outside linebacker.
Yeah, I totally agree with you guys. I can't see them going into the season with Woods and Banta Kane on opposite of Thomas.
Right.
I can't see. There's got to be an answer in the first two rounds, I think.
Yeah, and you know, if they do what our friend Vic Carucci predicted in his article a couple of weeks ago, and they do solve that outside linebacker problem by getting Peppers. Or in this case, Taylor. If you know, I think either one would work. Then sure, get the inside linebacker like Mauluga, and then you've got a solid foundation on the inside with Mayo and Mauluga. You've got enough veteran experience with Thomas and Peppers / Taylor on the other side,
if it's Peppers in particular, now you have three of those four starters are under the age of 30.
Yeah,
because Peppers is still only 29.
Right.
Then you'd have Mayo and Mauluga on the inside,
yep.
And just Adalis Thomas on the outside. Is he just 30 or 31?
He's going to be 31.
Yeah, so that's obviously you in one off season got much younger and much more athletic. That'd be a good move.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, a lot easier said than done.
Did you see Christian? Did you see any of Mauluga working out?
Yeah, I did. I actually saw him. I saw him do a little bit of the shuttle, and I saw him run the 40, like you said. And he pulled a hamstring at the combine. But yeah, I mean, he looked great. I mean, actually, Matthews looked better than I thought. A lot of people.
Yeah, he got raves.
He did okay.
He got raves in the write-up.
He was
afterwards.
One of those workout guys. Yeah.
Yeah, a workout warrior, which you got to be careful of too. We all know how that
right.
turns out.
Right.
So. And finally, I leave you guys with this. Am I the only one that thinks that they really need to draft? Another playmaker on the offensive side of the ball, as far as sort of like maybe like a slash, like a Percy Harvin, or maybe a running back who can line up in the slot, because everybody says the offense will take care of themselves and you got Moss and Walker, but we've been pretty fortunate as far as injuries go.
No, I think we've been pretty consistent in saying, on the podcast and even on this show that
look,
a wide receiver or a wildcat type,
but if there's a
player.
Guy that falls in their lap, they'll take him, even if it's a tight end. And maybe especially if it's a tight end.
Yeah, no, I definitely. Yeah. And not with the first pick, you're saying, right?
No, I'm picking
second
one of those.
Round?
I'm picking one of those seconds if they don't move them, which they're probably going to move one of them, I think.
The
but.
Second round, there'll be an offensive player taken at the skill position.
I agree.
All right, guys.
All right, Christian with a T-I-A-N. Or Chris.
Thanks.
All right, thanks for calling.
Christian with a T-I-A-N.
It's Chris with a T-I-A-N.
Brian in Santa Cruz, California. I just happened to check my personal email.
And he's sending emails again to
his
you.
His email, uh-huh. It says... webradio@patriots.com, but it's going to my personal email. But you know what? I think, Brian, you need to change it because you've got a period after the com. I think take that away and it'll go into the box here. But anyway, it says, last week when I brought you guys lunch, you said my emails are going to your personal inbox instead of web radio. Is that still the case? It is. You've got a period after .com. I get copied on them, so I'm getting them, but they're not going into the web radio. So get rid of that period after patriots.com.
That's weird. It knows to go to Fred's inbox if there's a dot after the com.
I don't know.
That's the only thing I think Fred is.
But I'm
guessing.
Getting it. Yeah. If you can let me know.
I think I get those as well.
Yeah, I'm still getting them, Brian. So please maybe redo your whatever.
Sometimes I get them and I notice that somebody has written in like PFW at WebRadio or some weird iteration of the email address, and sometimes it gets sent to us, but I don't know. It's weird.
Well, anyway, so Brian can't complain. I never read his emails anymore.
He bought us lunch the other day, didn't he?
He did. And,
it was outstanding.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. Andrew writes in, and he's from Harrogate, England.
Wow.
Living in England, we get limited coverage, if any, of the draft. Just wondering how Patriots.com will be covering draft weekend. Currently, it does not look like the draft will be shown on TV over here. Any chance Patriots.com can stream NFL Network's coverage live? I remember a few years ago, the Lions website did through Windows Media Player, and the connection was 100 times better than NFL.com. I wonder that if I have to rely on NFL.com, it will not work on the day. I've had problems in the past.
Another moment of brilliance.
A decent internet connection at my end. Just kind of caught up with me there. No, we're not going to stream out the show, but we are going to have our own radio show.
69.
Six to three East. I'm sorry. 6 to 9 Eastern on Saturday and 12 to 3 on Sunday. So in England, that would be like 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
We'll start with our broadcast in England.
Ooh, it's going to be a late night.
Hey, that's.
They'll be out partying, drinking. They'll get back. They'll hear the first pick. They'll be just right.
So
stumble in at 2 in the morning.
But Andrew, check Patriots.com.
Fred moment of brilliance after drinking all night.
Right.
Check Patriots.com. Mark from Cheddar isn't done with criticizing Eric. He says, I understand proper journalism, but if you are a proper journalist, you should be aware of your target audience. And like Paul said, your target audience will know who Bill brackets Belichick, comma, Pat's head coach is that not being a proper journalist and using proper journalism? Or would you write the same article, and he spells right wrong, this aimed at a five-year-old as it is proper journalism? One last point, Eric. We all know you got 1 out of 20.
Mark, if you were privy to some of the Ask PFW emails that we get, you would never, ever
watch out bashing our listeners.
You would never, I said some, Fred.
Okay.
You would never assume that people that come to this site know everything that they should know about this team. Let me just put it that way.
Wow. Let's see. Matt writes in. He says, on ESPN.com, they had a poll asking which young quarterback you would want to lead your team out of Jay Cutler, Matt Castle, Phillip Rivers, Aaron Rodgers, and Matt Ryan. I think it's surprising so many states voted for Matt Ryan, especially California. What do you guys think? The link is to the poll is below. So of those quarterbacks,
choices?
Jay Cutler, Matt Castle, Phillip Rivers, Aaron Rodgers, or Matt Ryan, who would you rather have?
There are only three of those that I would consider.
Rivers.
I would consider Rivers, Castle, and Ryan. The other two I wouldn't.
Yeah.
The only one out of that group that I would be unsure about right now, and it's strictly off the field, is Cutler because of what's going on right now.
Yeah.
I mean, the other guys, I would feel fine.
I think if I'm confident in my coaching, like guy like Aaron Rodgers might be the last one on the list for a lot of people.
I think I can
work with him.
I think Aaron Rodgers is going to be fine. I think he had a solid year last year.
You know? So, all right. Let's see. Jay in the UK writes in, just got some over-unders in true or false for you guys, seeing as Paul enjoys question time so much.
I like him, too.
Over-under. Tom Brady throws 30 touchdowns this year. 30. Remember, his record was 50.
Yeah, and he averaged under 30 for every
other
year.
I'm going to say under.
I'm going to say over.
I just realized I forgot to put my badge on today.
I'll say over, but not by much.
Joey Galloway catches 40 balls this year.
Over.
8 players are drafted with the 11 picks due to trades, etc. So they only use 8 of their 11 picks.
That's a good number.
I'm going to push.
It might be a push.
I'm going to go with the push.
Eric will make 3 of his 10 field goals.
I'm going to go with under.
Under. See, now you're backing off already.
I don't like this.
It's called managing expectations in the PR world, Fred.
But that's not what you did the rest of the time.
Look, go out there with your balls out, okay? just.
He's been trying. Andy's not here.
He's been trying that, Fred.
just
it's not working. Ask Carmani.
Just be overconfident.
That's twice now you've mentioned that.
You know,
that's not supposed to be.
Treat it like worldwide wrestling.
I have an online restraining order against him.
Oh, okay.
It's Kamani?
Yeah.
He hasn't emailed in.
But you're not even supposed to say his name.
Why not?
Because I have an online restraining order.
No, he wrote in. He wants to know what you're doing this weekend.
Just turn down your mic, for Christ's sake. Good Lord.
Wait a minute.
You woke me up out of a dream. Let's see.
What a maroon.
That's Sydney.
Oh, I thought that was Andy.
Let's see.
All right.
Yeah, still with the over-under. Two of the games of the real schedule will correspond correctly with the random ones posted yesterday.
Under. I'm going over. Going under. Sandy doesn't pick a
That's
thing.
A funny one, though. I like
That's
that.
That's a very good one.
This is good. I mean, we can go. Yeah. We have this one might have some legs for us, you know? Also, did you guys see Casterly's crazy mock draft on NFL.com where he has Beanie Wells going to the Seahawks at 4?
Oh,
where do you guys see him going? If the Pats didn't have as many needs on defense, he's the kind of guy I'd like to see in a Pats uniform. However, he's probably a luxury we can afford not to have at the moment. I'm just fed up with Maroney stutter-stepping and being injured. I want a downhill runner who gets it done. Any later round big back sleepers who could land in Foxborough. And finally, congratulations to Andy, although I do now wonder whether he realized his new daughter's name spells what it does.
After he listens to this show, he'll know that. I think Beanie Wells slips to the second round.
You do?
Yeah.
What about?
I think you'd be surprised that despite Beanie Wells' size, he's not a great inside runner.
Yeah, he kind of bounces a little bit out to the outside.
Yeah. And the durability issues.
He didn't look, you know, and I remember the first time I saw him.
You like Beanie Wells.
2 years ago, I remember I like this Chris Wells guy.
Yeah, you just like him because his nickname was Beanie.
But the more I watched him, the more he doesn't run hard on every play. He doesn't hit the hole as, you know, if this guy's upset with Maroney, this guy's not doing it in college all the time.
I'll tell you who he reminds me of.
Who?
Is Ron Dayne.
Ron Dayne, yeah.
Big back who wasn't as big when he got to the pros.
And no, well, he's big.
Playing
but,
big, I mean. He
didn't really play big in college. And then, you know, you can't bounce everything to the outside and I don't think he was nowhere near as good as Ron Dayne in college.
What other big sleeper backs?
If Andy were here, he would champion the guy from Virginia, James Davis. From Clemson.
James Davis, solid player.
I really like him, too, and I think he'd definitely be available in the second, maybe even the third round.
You want to talk about intangibles. He's got them coming out of his pockets.
He's one that I think would fit in this system very well.
Good player.
Hey, Brian Santos, Brian from Santa Cruz, he fixed it. He says, thanks for addressing this problem, Fred. I removed the period, and hopefully this works. It did. Here it is in web radio.
Wow.
Just a quick question. When I bought you lunch, nobody answered one of my questions regarding Fred's prediction, the prediction being Pats are the 09 Super Bowl champions. If we fill the outside linebacker position with a good veteran like Peppers or Taylor, is our defense back to its old championship form?
I don't think it's back to where it was.
I think it's back right now.
But I think it's better than it was when they went 18-0 in that Super Bowl.
I would think on paper, I would say yes. You got to see it all unfold, though.
You know, when I made the prediction, Vrabel was still on the team. Obviously, there wasn't that whole.
Are you backtracking?
No.
God no. He thinks it's now. He says,
I think as it is now, they win it. You know, you get somebody like a Jason Taylor or Julius Peppers, just hand them the trophy. Don't even bother.
Here's the question.
Hey, I'm all
if
for
they
it.
Get, yeah. If they get that,
do we get the weekends off?
Will any team score any points against the Patriots?
A few.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh yeah.
You think so?
This is the NFL. I mean, it's so not like have the other guys get paid too.
19-0 with 19 shutouts?
No, there won't be shutouts.
Field goal.
Might be
field goal.
One shutout, one game with three, but there'll be
one
some
touchdown.
Other. You know. What'd you hold up there, Tucci?
Another moment of brilliance by Fred Kirk.
Oh, Anthony from Naples.
Anthony.
How you doing?
Good. How you doing, guys?
Great.
What's up, Anthony?
You know, bringing up that the defense, thinking about it, they haven't signed any middle linebackers, if you really think about it. So it makes you feel like they are going to address that need in the draft.
Yeah, I think they might take one in the draft. I don't think they'll take them at 23 unless they get the outside taken care of with Peppers or Taylor.
Well, they need to address, I think, both inside and outside.
Right.
Oh, that's without saying. You know, that's clearly ever since Vrabel left, you know there's an open spot there. You know, I'm hoping and praying like everybody else, like I said in the beginning. I hope Jason Taylor signs. I just like that plan a lot better. You know, I hate putting in all that money with Julius Peppers. But really, the reason why I called is because it's actually you, Paul. you, Paul, and Andy, but I know Andy's not there attending to his
you,
new
Paul,
child, correct?
You,
Paul. It's, that could be a new rental.
No,
company.
It's actually we have a new name for him. It's Paul.
Paul. I'm going Paul, by Paul Perillo.
All right.
Paul.
Yeah.
Perillo.
Yeah.
That sounds Brazilian.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's.
You should see him in one of those Brazilian bikinis.
Well, you can't really see the bikini because, you know.
Just so you know, I would have that same reaction for any guy in a bikini. I don't really want to see guys in bikinis. Just, you know.
Speedo. Yeah.
It's good that you cleared that up, Paul, because there was some question.
Except for Eric.
Oh.
No, Eric seems to like
you.
Miami's a pretty scary sight because there's some Europeans over there. It's just like, dude, they have no idea. This is not cool over here in the
States.
Yeah,
it's just not cool.
Yeah.
Some guy with his Speedo looks like he's smuggling grapes.
Yeah. It's like a bad hotel. Ballroom.
A banana smuggler.
Oh, it's like a cheap hotel. Oh, all right, so what did Andy and I do now?
Well, you've said it several times before, and each time I hear you guys say it, I'm just wondering why you guys feel that way, as in for Deion Sanders. You know, the whole Crabtree thing, and I guess you guys aren't too thrilled that he's hooked up with Deion Sanders. Now, what in Deion's past makes you not like him? Do you think he's
I wasn't sure exactly what you were talking about. Are you talking about Andy's big thing that he thinks that Crabtree is going to be a bust because he's tying himself to all these different people?
And you concur, too, Paul.
Well, I don't concur. You know, don't put words in my mouth. But
I love
Deion Sanders.
My
one question would be, my one concern is probably a better way. Andy thinks he's going to be a bust because of that, and I don't agree with him. So let me just state that.
I don't think it can help him.
But my concern is what Fred just kind of alluded to. When you start worrying about, I'm going to train with Michael Johnson, I'm going to have Deion Sanders, you know, representing me, I'm going to have, you're kind of surrounding yourself with all these special stars, and you kind of wonder, are you more concerned with that and the fame that goes with it, or doing the best you can? Now, I think he's a tremendously talented football player, and that's why I don't think he's going to be a bust. I think he's a good player. But that's my only concern about it.
It's paying attention to things that don't...
That aren't important.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, here's the thing, though, is that, you know, he's in Texas, and that's where Deion lives. Now, Deion is known to, like, you know, approach young men, you know, before they go.
Speaking of names,
to approach young men before they go into the draft or into the draft, and kind of be like a role model to them. The same thing with Devin Hester. He's kind of he does really the same thing.
Well, who did Deion Sanders help?
He just said Devin Hester was.
Oh, Devin Hester he helped.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah, Devin Hester. He has a lot. Like, I've seen a lot of things about Deion, and he's got a lot of numbers of players, and he tries to, like, give them advice and whatnot. I really have never had a problem with Deion Sanders. I actually think he's one of the classiest persons in the league. Now, granted, he was one of my favorite players when he played. Yeah, he was a little bit showboaty, but you know what? Nobody's ever complained about him being a teammate.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think that he has always been considered a good teammate.
Exactly.
Especially as a football player. There were some questions in baseball, but as a football player, no one's ever complained about him as a teammate.
Didn't he show up late for seasons when he was playing baseball and stuff?
Yeah, but what does that have to do with anything?
Well, it's kind of star treatment.
He played both sports.
I know.
The only issue I had with him was I have no problem with him trying to represent guys or to try to mentor guys who are coming out into the draft, but he keeps his analyst job on television and is trying to do both. He's talking. Yeah. His job is to analyze and be impartial and objective about guys that
might be
he's
a
analyzing.
Conflict of interest.
I think there's definitely a conflict of interest, especially when you have a guy like Crabtree who's going to be one of the top picks in the draft.
Right.
And he as an analyst is trying to talk up who's doing well and who's not. He's going to say that the guy he's representing is doing well.
Yeah.
I have a problem with that. If you're going to do one or the other, pick one.
The problem with Deion,
I like Deion.
I think Deion was an extraordinary talent, unbelievable, but he is the show. No matter whether he's an analyst or whatever he's doing, he needs to be the focus of attention. And if I'm Michael Crabtree, I don't want the guy helping me to be the focus of attention. I want his attention to be on me.
Yeah, I don't think he's getting that. I think you're right.
You know, so I don't think it was it may not have been a wise choice. It shows a little bit of lack of wisdom on Crabtree's part.
He was starry-eyed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think you get that impression too, Fred, is because maybe Yeah, because it's the NFL Network, and Dion works for the NFL Network, so they always feel like, hey, we got to mention Dion because he's working along with Crabtree, because obviously Dion's their own product, you know. So maybe you get that impression. I don't know.
Well,
I really don't.
The other thing is, like, after games, like, you know, you'll see, like, the camera will be on the main guy doing an interview. You'll see Dion in the background hugging players and stuff. You're not a player anymore. You're not part of it. You are now a professional, you know, not a journalist, but
he's
you're
an
on
analyst.
TV talking
right,
about
an analyst.
You shouldn't be out there, like, hugging players after games.
I know. A lot of those former players do that, too, I've noticed.
Because they can't get away from it. They need to be part of, mm-hmm. you know, that feeling, you know. And they're not out. It's over.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I think you're being too hard on him.
Maybe.
I like Dion. Put me somewhere in between Andy, Anthony, and you.
Okay.
I have some concern, but I'm not saying that Crabtree. I mean, Andy thinks that it's a big, big problem, and
yeah.
I just think it's one of those things that I would be concerned about.
Yeah, I'm just kind of indifferent. I actually felt like, hey, you know what? If he's going to take a role model on, there's nothing wrong with Deion Sanders because he truly, it's yet to be seen, but nothing's really ever come out about the guy.
You know, Anthony, I equate it to that guy who worked in the factory on the line, and he did a really good job. And one day they say, hey, we want to bring you into management.
Sure.
But, you know, you need to know that now that you're a manager, you can't always be buddy-buddy with the guys you worked on the line anymore because you're going to have to make tough decisions now. And some guys say, you know what, that's not for me because I don't want to be that type of guy. Well, that's the decision Dion's made now. He is now on the other side. He is in that fifth estate or fourth estate or
but
whatever.
But he's trying to have it both
he's
ways.
He's trying to have it both. He can't
estate.
Do it fourth estate.
Yeah.
The fifth estate is digital.
The fifth dimension.
You know, but he's trying to have both, and you can't do it.
All right. It's a matter of opinion.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm glad you took my call, guys. And
always take your call.
Of course.
Well, unless he forgets.
Unless you call at 2 o'clock, and then we're done. So we can't
Sometimes I wish you guys would take less calls, as in John from L.A.
Love caller on caller.
Honestly, last week was a great week because he didn't call up. This week,
wow.
He was back again.
Wow.
I actually miss Craig from Carolina.
He called last week.
He did?
Did he?
He writes in.
He wrote it. He didn't get to call.
I can't believe that he was gone all that time and just decided to write one and just said, sorry, I haven't heard from him. I've been swamped. No explanation.
When I hear John's voice, I feel like I'm back in high school and I want to shove that nerd into a toilet or
something.
Wow. Oh, boy.
Holy mackerel.
Yeah.
This is great.
All right. Take it easy.
Maybe, all right, Anthony.
Maybe John should incorporate some of this into his outfit.
He's like the Dan Shaughnessy of PFW in Progress, you know?
Yeah.
Who, John?
Yeah.
Everybody hates him?
You either hate him or you really hate him.
A lot of people like it, as we've seen from the emails.
Well done. Thank you.
You know, people appreciate his writing skills. All right, well, that's going to do it for this edition of
Price
PFW in Progress.
Exactly.
Lots going on the weekend. Who knows? News could break. And if it does, we'll talk about it next Tuesday. See you next Tuesday.